All right, it's time for the top 10. No, not even top 10. The top callers of the year.
You call me Kevin, and be Joe, and blew our minds. Good, bad, or crazy, you're the ones that shine, shine. Come on, baby, let's count it down, count it down. Because we have the best callers around, around. Top callers of the year. Top callers. Top callers of the year. Top callers.
Is that eligible for next year's best intros?
Absolutely.
Yeah, sure.
All right, listen, these were very difficult because when we find someone that's crazy, that we love, we spend a lot of time with them.
And we did feel this year that maybe there were more than usual. We've been saying that.
So it was really difficult to pick the top callers. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I also had to edit it much shorter. But they can go up to like a minute or a little bit more.
Okay.
Our craziest people who called us this year on the Kevin and Bean Show. The first one is you saved a body part.
Let's go to Palmdale Line 5. This is going to be our man, Caleb. Kevin, you were saying no to body parts?
No, I don't need any body parts.
Well, then meet Caleb.
Good morning, Caleb.
We have my grandpa's frostbitten foot.
His entire foot?
What? From when he tried to scale Mount Everest. And I don't think, I never met him. I don't think he was that smart of a man. Because according to the story, he never made it to Everest. He got his foot chopped off in China.
What?
He never actually made it to the mountain.
Wait a second.
Let's unpack this.
If he made it all the way to China, then it's not like he died up there or had frostbite and had to have his leg amputated, because he would have done that when he got back down in Nepal, right? He wouldn't have gone to China for that. It sounds like it's a separate incident.
Now, there's another one I got for y'all. We have my great uncle's shoe. Now, I don't know if you guys have notes on the line, but can y'all guess what happened?
No.
Why we have that shoe?
Oh, to put the foot in.
No.
Oh,
that's a great guess.
Okay. My great uncle's shoe.
It's just one shoe.
That was all we found of him in a pig pen after the pigs ate him.
Caleb, are your parents related?
What's happening?
Crazy.
Hey, Jensen, watch it now.
That's not our family.
This is the best. I just optioned your family story for a television show.
Unbelievable.
Incredible. I forgot about the pigs.
It's all that was left of him.
Amazing.
Of his whole body.
Yes, after being eaten by pigs. Mm. And then Jensen makes fun of him and goes, hey, Jensen, be careful.
Yeah. Careful now.
Really?
Ready to throw me into the pig side.
That's amazing.
All right, we're doing the top callers of the year. We did a feature this year called Towels. What's up?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And it included washcloths in this particular call.
No. Al, are you okay?
Towel talk, guys.
No, there's some very concerning things happening on the phone.
Towels, what's up, George?
So about a year ago, I never used washcloths.
Oh.
And so my girlfriend, when I used to live with her, whole family has washcloths right there, like on little shelves. And once you're done using them, you throw it in the hamper.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now that I use washcloths, I realize that your whole body's a whole lot cleaner.
George, it's life-changing, and I'm glad that she introduced you to it.
Oh, my God, it is life-changing. You feel like a baby out
there. Thank you, George. Spread the word to everyone.
You have baby smooth skin afterwards.
Right. Take it easy, George.
So, George, what's your message for stanky-ass Kevin, then?
Oh, a stanky-ass white man.
There it is.
Hey, that's the takeaway. Nice, but that's the takeaway on today's show. Thank you, George.
Well, that's where that came from.
Stanky-ass white man. Thank you, George.
George's a good dude.
The topic was things you found out late in life.
Mm-hmm. What's the thing that you found out late in life, though?
Women's period. What it actually is. I'm like, I don't know.
Paula,
why don't you tell me? It was in my late 20s that my ex-girlfriend told me at the time. And I was like, oh.
What is it, Paula?
I mean, you guys, I mean.
No, but we want to hear you explain.
Yeah,
you still don't know, do you?
Well, it's acting as if, oh my God, I'm still dumb. it's acting as if the baby's coming out, something like that. I don't know.
It's not a baby coming out. It's the opposite of a baby coming out.
It's the shedding of the uterine lining.
I still don't know what goes on down there.
I don't know what's going on down there, Polo says.
He said it's not a baby.
Thank you for the call. Put him down for caller of the year.
He still doesn't know. I love him.
To this day.
Oh, I love him.
We're doing top callers of the year. The topic was...
That guy. How do you beat that guy?
The topic was nicknames. And This is a short one because I just love so much that Zomla, whatever her name is, she just had had it with Bean and she wasn't going to take it anymore.
Let's try Zolma, Canoga Park, line 5. All right, you're starting with Zolma. Where do you go from there, Zolma?
Yeah, Bean, it is a name. God.
She's awesome.
So over.
Disgusted. Disgusted.
So tired of you. Top callers of the year, you have a favorite kid. Caitlin in Anaheim, good morning.
Good morning.
You have 4 kids.
I do. I have 4 and under.
Ooh, holy cow.
And they're all in the car with you right now to hear this very honest conversation.
Yeah, they kind of know. The big one is 4 years old, and he's a troublemaker. But one of the twins is my favorite, my Brody. He's been my favorite since day one.
Okay, but what about the other twin? What's the other twin think about when you say that?
I don't know that he understands completely. They're 3, but he's always like, oh, me too? And I'm like, no.
Oh, my God!
Are you kidding? But you're a terrible mother.
He's a little much. He's a screamer and stuff like that. So I think, you know, everyone, he's the cutest one. So I think everyone else loves on him, and Brody's my favorite.
Hey,
so
listen,
I think Brody to myself.
Do they have headphones on right now so they can't hear this?
No, or they're just... They're playing the quiet game. They're being really good.
That's the sad game is what they're playing.
Why don't you pull the van over and put the cute one just out on the side of the road. Let him take his chances with a new family.
Great. Yeah, seriously.
How crazy was she?
It's great.
He said, me too, mommy. No.
No.
Not you.
No.
All right, we need to break. We have the top.
Oh, my God.
We have the top 3.
I can't believe they're better than this.
We have the top 3 callers of the year next. All right, so we already did one batch. This is the second batch.
Mm-hmm.
And the topic of this particular conversation was you got someone fired.
So it was early 90s. I think I was 7, 8 years old. And my mom dropped me off to go get my haircut. And I had talked the hairdresser into actually shaving a slit in my eyebrow.
Yeah.
A
little Vanilla Icy.
I love it. Continue.
I was such a huge fan of Vanilla Ice or Dylan McKay from Nano 210.
Who
that's
was
what
it?
I wanted.
Yeah.
So my mom came in to pick me up, saw what I had, and I was super proud of it. She berated the hairdresser.
What?
The manager came to the front, told the manager what the issue really was, and the woman got fired for taking direction from a 7 or 8 year old.
Oh, no.
Wow. He was just trying to keep the customer satisfied.
Doing
that's
what
all.
The customer asked.
And it was on trend.
Yes. Customer's always right.
What? Your mom needs to be fired.
I thought she was cooler than that.
I thought she was cooler than that. What a weird thing to say.
And a great, sweet little read.
Oh, I love
it. Cooler than that.
The next one is you got something stuck in your body.
Oh, no.
What a great topic. Hmm.
Joe, South Pasadena, line 1 to close this down.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, first time caller, long time listener. Rest in peace, Bean.
All right, I'm fine. I'm fine.
God willing.
You stuck something in your body?
I did.
Yes, go ahead.
My sister and I, we were younger. I was 7, she was 8, and we had a contest sticking Lucky Charms up our nose.
Very reasonable.
Listen,
very
that's
reasonable.
A valid contest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who won?
I figured if I put them in my nose and let them wait long enough, they would get soggy so I could put more in there.
Oh!
Sure.
That makes sense.
I don't like it.
I did. I packed so many Lucky Charms up my nose that I couldn't breathe anymore. My mom came home and took me to the hospital. And on the way to the hospital, the sun hit me in the eyes, and I sneezed and blew Lucky Charms all over the window.
That story has everything.
Winner.
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 He says winner. Who
he
says
declared
that?
Winner, even though it wasn't a contest.
That guy rules.
He has contests like we do.
I
winner,
love it.
Winner.
I enjoy him.
And finally, the topic was you bribed somebody.
Mm-hmm.
This is maybe my favorite call of the year.
You know, we were thinking of just cash, but Mary was trading in something else. La Puente, line 1. Let's hear her story.
Hey, Mary.
Hello.
Hey, Mary.
Hey, good morning, everybody. So no one knows this, but my brother, when he was in middle school, he was failing a math class. And so I was in college, and I decided to go talk to his teacher. His teacher was kind of cute, and so I made the offer to go get a drink. The teacher accepted, and then we ended up hooking up. My brother passed the class.
Whoa. You're the best sister. Mary.
That's.
I love it.
Did you try anything else, or did you lead with sex?
Did you tell your brother, or did you let him think that he had passed the course
I
on his own?
I never told him. My brother doesn't know.
Can
to
we
this
call
day.
Him?
But he knows something because I asked him, like, hey, so what ended up happening? He's like, I passed. I'm going to be able to graduate. And he's like, but I didn't do any homework. I didn't turn anything in. And so I was like, all right.
You're like, I took care of the homework.
Mary's like, I turned something in.
Mary, you are, Allie was absolutely right. You are the greatest sister ever. And I know you don't want to tell your brother, but never let him forget what an awesome sister you are, all right?
Yeah.
I love it.
That's amazing.
She slept with a guy's teacher.
Yeah, for a grade.
It happens.
She rules. Does it happen?
It should.
Okay.
It's top colors of the year. Top colors. Top colors of the year. Top colors.
Omar Khan joins us in the studio now.
Yeah, dog. Check it out. My flashlight. I found my flashlight, guys. Boom, boom.
Wow. Omar was so upset yesterday because he lost his flashlight. And
I found it.
And then he found it.
So
now he's
now,
very
guys.
Excited. Right, but that's not the point. That's not why we had you.
Oh, sorry. I thought it was flashlight talk with DJ Omar
Khan. It's not flashlight talk. No. No, it isn't. It's wedding talk.
Though. Oh, okay.
It's wedding disasters.
Right.
Omar is a DJ, and he's a great DJ. I've had him DJ my parties before, and he's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, man.
So if you want a great
that.
DJ, look him up. Where can they find you?
Yeah, you can go to my website to check out the info. It's djomarkhan.com, or just shoot me a quick email at omar@caroq.com, and I'll hook you up.
But listen to the story first before you contact him.
Yeah. Well, to be honest, so this past Saturday, while you guys were at your little Coachella festival,
right.
I was DJing a wedding,
uh-huh.
and beautiful wedding. The bride and groom, the ceremony, everything was amazing. After I packed up. While I'm packing up.
Okay.
Right? You know, there's always the people who are overserved and trying to get more booze.
So the wedding went fine and...
Everything's kind of closing down,
okay.
right? So I'm rolling the bride and groom, when I was rolling my stuff out, the bride and groom had just left another car in their limo.
Okay.
Okay? And all of a sudden I hear, that dude grabbed my ass!
Uh-oh.
Exactly,
oh,
right?
No.
And you knew it was on.
It was on, and it was like... I don't know, 10 feet away from me.
Okay.
And this guy, you know, tries to man's up, dude, bro, dude. Were you all over my girl, man? You know, it's like, you know, early 20s guys,
yeah.
you know what I mean?
Dude,
trying
bro.
To man up. Yeah, dude,
sure.
bro.
That had too much, been overserved, right?
And then, you know, luckily at weddings, like almost instantly, there's guys trying to break it up.
Right.
Right.
It's a
right.
wedding.
Right.
You
yeah,
don't
exactly.
Want it to go down.
Yeah, exactly. So instantly, people are trying to defuse the situation. And this other dude, bro, comes.
Uh-oh.
Right? And then he's just like, oh, I'm going to help out, too. And he puts his hand.
New dude, bro, is going to stop the fight.
Absolutely.
Okay, so
right.
he's on the side of peace. Okay.
Right, exactly.
He's
while,
on the side
while,
of peace.
While it was always already kind of diffused. Do you know
oh,
what I mean?
Was.
Yeah. So he puts his hands on one of the guys, and the guy doesn't like that dude,
no,
bro.
No.
And he slaps his hand, and then the new guy, who is... very tough looking guy.
Right.
Just one hand clocks him, guy's on the ground, and I thought that would be the end of it. That's
right?
Not for this guy.
All right, no? Hold that thought.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to take wedding disaster calls. 1-800-520-1067. If everything went south fast and hard,
we
want your calls. 1-800-520-1067. Okay, so he punches him and he's on the ground.
And by the way, this might sound like a long story, but everything happened in a matter of seconds.
Right.
It was crazy.
Right.
And, yeah, so he punches him. Dude bro, number one, is on the ground, and new dude bro hops on him and punches him another good three times.
No.
And then... number one dude bro's girlfriend gets on new dude bro's back.
Oh, no.
Right?
Oh,
and then
no.
all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the new dude bro's girlfriend starts fighting
oh,
with another
no.
dude. Yeah, two girls fighting
oh,
now.
No.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
This is insane.
Yeah. So then,
so the guys are fighting and the girlfriends are fighting.
Yeah. And then, so a whole melee breaks out. And then, like, my gear's right there. So I'm, like, in front of my gear.
Right.
Don't touch my
don't
gear, guys. Don't yeah. knock it over. Yeah.
What a and, weenie. You're just like, hey,
yeah,
no.
Yeah, exactly.
I have turntables yeah, here.
Yeah.
Everybody.
You know, and then so then some other people come, and you know, and then they break it up, and it's all fine. And then I'm loading up my gear.
It's not over?
It's well, no. This is I forgot to tell you guys yesterday. So then, you know, I cart my stuff over to my car, and I'm loading my gear up, and all I hear is like, "You're an asshole!"
Oh, no. Oh, same girl? No.
Same girl.
That started it the first time?
Right. It's like, "You didn't even fight for my honor!"
Oh, no. Yeah. Now she's mad at Dude Bro.
Yeah, she's mad at Dude Bro.
Oh, no. But dude,
I'm taking an Uber home.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Right. And I was just like, they're enjoying it because I was tired after loading my gear. I was just watching it. I was like, this is awesome.
How many weddings a year do you do?
20, around
How
20.
How often does this happen?
20. It happens a couple of times a year.
It does?
For sure,
really?
For sure.
Out of 20?
Yeah, out of 20. And the other one, it wasn't like a huge disaster, but the bride was super drunk before their first dance.
Oh, no.
Okay? And I was just like, man, you need to kind of like, you know, I was telling the maid of honor, you kind of need to figure it out. Maid of honor took bride to go puke, and she returned like a champ.
No kidding.
And nice. Yeah, did the first dance and everything. So, yeah, that was pretty cool. But, yeah, other stuff like random fights almost break out. Not to this extent, but fights almost, you know, almost. But
they almost break out all the time, but then somebody diffuses
right.
the whole situation.
Yeah.
And it doesn't become a disaster.
Right, right.
Although disasters is what we're looking for. 1-800-520-1067.
Touch my ass.
It was so on. It was awesome.
Omar's the kind of guy who is packing up his stuff, but will watch.
Oh, sure. Totally, yeah. Totally. Because
That's fascinating. All right, let's start with Evan in Westwood. Hi, Evan.
Hey, what's going on, party people?
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about disastrous weddings. What happened?
So I was at one of my best friend's weddings, like this is about 3 or 4 like, years ago, and I got the ceremony, and then like one of the guests like, sent out a tweet saying, "I'm at this guy's wedding. Is a huge disaster. He will get divorced in the next 2 years."
Oh, no.
He tweets that while at the wedding?
So he says, "I do." An hour into the party, he gets a little boozed up, and then he starts to send out these tweets saying, "I give this guy 2 years. She is such a horrible person." Blah, 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 blah.
Wow.
Oh, I hope the husband clocked this mofo.
So the bridesmaids read this. They show it to the bride. So this is turned into the bridezilla times 100. She takes off her veil, storms straight to his table, and just slaps him across the face. And then
because he was in the tweet, he was calling her a whore. He hated her, right?
Hated her.
Okay.
So then his girlfriend slaps the bride back, and then it turned into this huge cat fight.
Did you see any panties? I saw panties in the fight.
Oh, my. Did you see any panties?
Now, when you see panties, is it a better fight?
Totally. Oh, of course, God. Man. All we needed is some, like, Jell-O. Oh, my God, right?
All right. Thank you for the call. Evan, 1-800-520-1067. We are looking for your disastrous weddings, and we'll be right back. All right. Just ahead of the 1975, let's take a call quickly. We're talking about wedding disasters. Kayla in Riverside is on the line. Hi, Kayla.
Hi.
What happened at your wedding? Or at a wedding you were at?
Actually, it was my wedding.
Okay.
And I hired my cousin to be the DJ.
Mm-hmm.
It was a disaster because he lost my music for my aisle walk. So I had to walk down the aisle with complete silence. And it was super
during the ceremony.
Oh, no.
That's terrible.
How did he lose it?
I have no idea. And then later on, he... he says, "Oh, I found it. It was on my phone." Because he didn't bring any of his equipment.
What?
What kind of DJ doesn't bring his gear?
So
apparently he's like...
So did he play no music?
He played music on our, like, home speakers. We had to bring them over.
Oh, Kayla.
You bring your own speakers?
This is awful.
You see, you should have hired DJ Omar Khan.com. I mean, DJ Omar Khan, you can find him at DJ Omar Khan.com.
He won't get drunk and stop playing music for the most part. We'll be right back. DJ Omar Khan is in the studio. He does a lot of weddings.
Mm-hmm.
And he's seen his share of fights.
And I can't get enough.
Do you think it's because you're getting together friends and family that maybe they haven't all been together for a while, and then
it's
there's
that,
and then you add booze?
That's exactly what it is. Yeah, you add booze, and you know maybe they start talking politics or whatever it is for whatever reason. You know what I mean? And they go at it, and it's very entertaining.
All right,
I can't get enough.
Let's start with Wendy in La Palma. Hi, Wendy.
Hello.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good. Thank you. How are you? We're talking about wedding disasters.
Well, I haven't thought about this story in a long time, but I had a ex-boyfriend who was arrested at his boss's wedding.
He was arrested?
What did he do?
Well, he was one of those angry drunks, and he started fights with the groomsmen and started doing weird things with the food and pushing things. And
I'm sorry, weird things with the food. Let's go.
Yeah, like he was like pushing
that.
Pushing the food. Belligerent on the buffet.
Belligerent on the buffet?
He went off on the buffet. This isn't the food I like. But he got arrested, and it was his boss's wedding?
Oh, no.
Yes.
What a dumbass. Yes, did he get fired?
You know what? I don't really remember. Like, he didn't last there very long, but I'll never forget I had to drive home by myself because the cops had to fish his keys out of his pocket while he was being arrested at the reception.
Oh, sweet.
Stupid buffet, man.
Right? They'll
get you every time.
Dumb buffet. If they had a better buffet, none of that would have happened.
Right?
Thank you for the call, Wendy. Let's go to Renee in Oxnard. Hi, Renee. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hello. How are you?
Good. Thank you. Talking about wedding disasters. What happened?
Yeah. So during the right between the best man and maid of honor speech, the manager of the venue that we were getting married at, we got married at a theater, and the woman who managed it was friends with my husband, and she was wasted. She grabbed the microphone from the best man and started screaming at everybody to shut the F up because people were talking and she wanted to hear things, and she would not give the microphone back. So my husband and the best man had to tackle her to get the microphone.
Your husband and the best man had to tackle the manager of your venue to get the microphone back.
Oh. Yes, and so my friend was the photographer, and he knows my sense of humor, so he took some pictures of it, and they're my favorite pictures.
Absolutely.
Oh, pretty sweet. I mean, if any of those were to come our way, we'd be very happy.
We'd be thrilled.
Thank you for the call, Renee. We appreciate that. All right, let's go to Melody, who is calling us from Downey. Hi, Melody. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good. Wedding disasters. What happened?
Okay, so we had about 40 guests at our wedding, but enough alcohol for 75 people.
Okay.
So by the time we did our dances, everybody was completely wasted, including my sister, who was the most wasted, and decided to take her drink on a little tour of the venue and fell into the lake.
Your sister fell in the lake.
Yes, and that's not even the most of it. Luckily, somebody found her and fished her out, but she kept wandering off. And so by the end of the wedding, a bunch of people stayed behind to look for her, including my husband. So I had to ride back to the hotel by myself.
What?
We eventually found her naked, rolling around laughing in her hotel room.
What?
We had no idea how she got there.
Melody, I want to party with your sister. I'm not going to lie. She sounds fantastic.
She has some stories.
She fell in a lake and then got lost.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. That's I don't think you understand how good this story is, Melody.
It's really good.
You're not happy enough about this. All right. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Frank, who's calling from Anaheim. Hi, Frank. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
How's it going?
Good. Thank you.
So we were at a wedding, and my cousin's wedding, and the bride's uncle kept following my other cousin around, who had just been on vacation for 7 to 9 years, depending on good behavior. And he kept trying to mess with them, and finally he followed him in the restroom. Next thing you know, the restroom door swings open because my cousin hit him. And he's a big guy because, what else do you do in jail but lift weights?
What?
And he pretty much broke his jaw. Next thing you know, their family and our family just started a big old fight, and, people are getting slammed, and I got my 75-year-old grandfather trying to throw blows with their grandfather. It was just...
Come on, that's a special fight when grandparents get involved.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Right? I mean, that's the best.
My two other uncles were the biggest guys. They were the DJs, and they're 6'8" twins. They're just yelling for security. We're like, jump in there, do something.
Why was your uncle following him around in the first place?
No, it was the bride's uncle because he was an older, I guess, gang member trying to.
Oh,
I see. My cousin was like, yeah,
What you set you with, eh?
Right?
Yeah, you better claim this right, Holmes. Slice. Charlie. Where's Rudy Cisneros at?
Right? It was insane. Cops came up and just sent everybody home. They're like, we don't want to deal with this. Send everybody home.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I see my grandfather at like 75 getting up, starting to throw.
I mean, honestly, I wish I was there.
When Pop gets into it, it's a party. Right?
Frank, does it make me bad that I want to see your grandpa fight?
No. It doesn't.
That's super odd. All right, let's go to Nicole in Fontana. Hi, Nicole.
Hi. How are you guys?
We are good. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking wedding disasters. What happened?
So we actually went to a cousin's wedding out in the city of Temecula, which is absolutely gorgeous. So as the wedding goes on, everyone's fed, so everyone's finally starting to have a good time. Everyone's on the dance floor, and all of a sudden, the sprinklers go on and wet the band, the DJ system, everything that was actually on the dance floor. It was really, really sad.
At least people weren't all dressed up and had their hair done as well.
How long did they go on for?
They were actually on for a few minutes because where the dance floor was, it was very far away from where the actual venue was. So we actually had to take golf carts to it. So they had to let everyone, or I don't know how they ended up getting the information like to turn the sprinklers off, but they went off at like 10 o'clock.
Sprinklers on for a couple of minutes will ruin your gear. You're done.
Wow.
Yeah, I can't even imagine because the band was like 15 people.
Oh.
Equipment, everything.
Good times. Nope. Wow. Thank you for the call. Let's take one more and let's make it Mike, who's calling from Brea. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, thank you. Wedding disasters.
Okay, it's my wife's cousin. She was, at the time, working for Rick D's. He had a radio station going on here. I don't remember what it was. I never listened to it. But she had just redone her house, redone her backyard. Beautiful, beautiful home just for the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And they had the ceremony.
Right.
But there was a little bit of a lapse between alcohol and food.
So that's never good. Okay.
Just drinking and drinking. And during that lapse,
gonna have to speed it up a bit here.
My other cousin was underneath the table puking her brains out. Her group were up against the wall, freshly painted house, puking their brains out. It was just vomit fest.
Everybody at the wedding was vomiting.
At that one particular table, yeah, they got so hammered. I mean, dinner wasn't even served yet.
And wow. Well, they were making room.
Right, now they could eat.
It was bad. They were just
offloading some of the alcohol so that they could intake some more.
Freshly new sod. I mean, the backyard was a mess. I felt so bad for my cousin.
Wow. Good times, right?
Good times,
I lost track of Rick D's. I don't know where he was at the wedding.
I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't understand that part. All I get is vomit. Thank you for calling.
No. This is not encouraging people to call in. This is making people afraid. In the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to be giving away tickets to K-Rock's Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas.
By the way, that was almost whistling.
That was close. That's probably the best you've ever done.
Really the best I've ever done.
The tickets are sold out, but you're going to have to be able to decipher what you just heard. And I feel bad for you, actually, but it's coming up very soon.
All right, so...
I'm just doing it ahead of time.
Just as a preemptive strike?
Kevin.
We all walked in here today just shaking our heads.
Listen.
Well, first, I looked around when I pulled in, and I was like, I don't want any spots open next to me, because I do not want Kevin parking near me.
Well, by the way, Jensen has made fun of me before.
I commonly do have, like, I park, and then when I leave, I go, who's this maniac? Park next to me. And
always
then, Kevin always, he's like almost... Like, it's like he Dukes of Hazzard into it.
Oh, man.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's almost like he fishtailed into it in a quick sabotage way. and I don't get how he gets there. But then when I see something like what he posted on social media yesterday,
I
thank my stars that he's never went that far.
Listen, I went to the CVS by my house. And the CVS by my house is very much
Heaven's Waiting Room. That's what I call it. It's Heaven's Waiting Room. People okay. who have parents or grandparents mm-hmm. that are just about to pass.
Uh-huh.
My belief is they put them in a car
okay.
and they just drive around that parking lot and at some point they go to heaven.
Fatality.
And they don't know how to drive and they don't know how to park.
I feel
and
like don't... you're already victim blaming the parking lot.
But let me finish. So I pull into the parking lot and there's a mm-hmm. there's an older woman that's in a car mm-hmm. and she literally, I can't figure out how she got into the angle that she got into. It wasn't like she was pulling into a spot. It wasn't like she was backing out. She
okay.
was somehow stuck, like, strangely at a weird angle. So I paused for a second thinking, all right, well, maybe she'll work it out.
Uh-huh.
And then I got a little angry and I went around her.
Okay.
I was like, old, right?
Right.
Am I right? So then, you know, you have to battle three or four different cars that don't know what they're doing.
This is quite the excursion to CVS.
To get to a parking lot. No, yeah. This is every time you go to this CVS.
Okay.
It's all olds.
Okay.
I can just about walk. I can't hardly walk. I can't see too far, and I can't hear too good.
That's a manager.
Correct, yes. So I'm frustrated.
Okay.
And so now I'm sort of getting angry at people. I'm like, come on, it isn't that hard just to know someone's around you and stay out of their way.
Okay.
What's the big deal?
Just right. Be aware.
So finally I just go far away out to the edge of the parking lot thinking mm-hmm. there's no one out there yeah. usually, no problem. I'll be able to find a spot. So I start pulling in and I'm like, the parking, what do you call it?
It's kind of like the stopper, the cement block.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I kept thinking like, oh, it'll stop my car at any second. You know, I'm pulling in slowly. Cement block didn't yeah. stop me. And I was
right.
like, well, I mean, I guess I'm pretty well parked.
Question. Whenever you pull into a parking spot, mm-hmm. do you rely on that to
the
stop
blocker,
you?
Yeah.
I mean, most of the time, if you pull in really slowly, it stops you and you're like, okay, good. Okay.
I don't think I've ever, like, used that as the determining factor of, oh, I should stop now. I just know how to park.
Right.
Well, that's the difference between you and I.
I don't ever want to be someone standing behind that block.
Also, I don't have I have a low profile vehicle.
That probably makes the difference.
That makes a huge difference.
So I park and okay. I'm angry at these people.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
And I walk into CVS and mm-hmm. the woman is still there trying to figure out. Now another guy has gotten out of his car.
Hey,
not angry.
Allie, quick
not angry.
About the story he's telling.
Yeah.
He keeps going back to the yeah. woman, but the woman has nothing to do with the way he parked.
I feel like she's got to have some.
It's frame of mind. It's just my frame of mind.
She's got to be a callback.
Okay. Okay. Cool. Just letting you know. Okay. Hey, okay. Keep going, ma'am.
It's just my frame of mind. It has nothing to do with it other okay. than I'm really frustrated by the olds.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
So I go into CVS and I wait for about 20 minutes and I get my prescription and I come mm-hmm. back out and she's still sort of in the next aisle trying to figure out where to go. And I'm like, mm-hmm. man.
Still, he's still
These olds don't know how to drive, how to park.
Other people. It's like
still
it's,
mad at
he
her.
Can't look at himself
and
anywhere.
Then I walked back to my car uh-huh. and I saw that picture. I saw my car.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And that parking block, cement block,
right.
was dead center.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was halfway under your car.
Underneath my car.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And first I stopped just for a second. And I was like, how could that have happened?
Did they move it while I was in CVS?
That's my thought. No, that wasn't my thought. So, but then I was like, wow, I'm a whole half, three quarters of a car length.
Right.
And it hit me right at that moment. I'm one of the olds. I'm one of the people, everybody else, they see me park and they go, oh, isn't that sweet?
Yeah.
That guy's waiting to go to heaven. It's heaven's waiting room. That guy just doesn't know what he's
and
doing.
And yet there you were attacking that poor woman.
Really, really condescending.
You hate what you've become.
Yes. I didn't know I had become it at that point.
Right.
Until I came back out of the CVS and then I realized, oh, that might be the worst parking job I've ever had.
It was impressive.
Ever.
Yeah, it was so bad it was good.
Yeah, it came back around. It definitely came back around. If you were wondering about this picture, we have retweeted it on both at Kevin and Bean on Twitter and on Instagram.
Yeah.
It is something,
it's
Kevin.
Some work, yeah.
I will say this, your car looks very clean.
It does, thank
I
you.
I did mm-hmm. notice that.
Thank
I was
you.
Like, hey, at least you washed it? I don't know. I was trying to give you
something.
Because
my car is dirty a lot. Thank you for trying to give me
no
something.
No problem.
When do you start walking around with Werther's Originals in your pocket and like...
I mean, I feel like that's this weekend.
Purple hair.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I'm one of the people that has no idea what I'm doing.
From listener Matt on Instagram.
I don't need listener Matt to weigh in.
I volunteered at a Friends and Helpers event and watched Kevin hit and run over an elementary school bench. He waved in celebration. FYI, no children were on the bench. Kevin!
Wait, was he talking?
What? Is
he, hold on, was he talking about a truck?
Oh, I don't know. Which instance was he talking about?
I don't remember doing that, although I don't doubt his story. Mm-hmm. But also, those huge trucks are impossible to drive, and I had to drive them a few times, mm-hmm. and I have no idea what I'm doing in those trucks. So I'd like to suggest...
An elementary school bench.
Well, the elementary school was where we were holding the event.
Oh, okay. It wasn't just a random elementary school bench?
You were just like trying to take them out like Crazy Taxi. You weren't just trying to find...
No.
Okay.
No, I'm saying like the gates were open. Have you ever driven one of those huge trucks? A monster like moving trucks?
No, but I've never hit an elementary school bench, I'm not really connecting with you.
Everything.
In any situation.
Everything in this story, Kevin.
Is good?
Yep.
I don't like your tone.
Well, you gotta live with it, man.
I don't like people turning me in.
I mean.
I don't like listeners tweeting and giving you guys a heads up.
I mean.
I don't appreciate it. I love our listeners.
Maybe get you a siren that goes off when you're parking so people know from miles away.
I like it.
Okay.
I like it. All right. We're going to open the lines for tickets for night number two, which is sold out of the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas. Unfortunately, you're going to have to listen to me whistle.
Attempt.
Define whistle.
Finger quotes.
We call it blow hum because I'm unable to whistle for the most part. But you're going to have to identify the song.
Yeah.
And if you do, you go into the drawing to win tickets for night number two, which is sold out.
And you do know that when you whistle, you actually whistle out. You whistle in.
No, I don't. You just can't tell.
I got news for you.
I mean, it does feel like you're breathing
in. You're breathing in.
I'm not.
I'm watching you whistle.
I'm not whistling right now.
Oh, I wasn't referring back to past whistling. I hate you.
1-800-520-1067.
Voting ends at 10 o'clock this morning. Is that right?
Yep.
Did I say that right? Okay. If you want to help us decide who will be the opening act for Kevin and Bean's 11th annual April Foolishness, as you know, the show is at the Microsoft Theater Friday night. It's going to be a great night of comedy, the Kevin and Bean rap battle, and some deserving comedian is going to get up in front of a big old audience of about 5,000 people. And it could be that person's big break. Man, there's a lot of funny people, a lot of great competitors this year. Go to krock.com, check out the Kevin and Bean page, and cast your vote who should be opening the show.
Also, we moved the rap battle to 3 p.m.
No,
so
it's still,
no one will be able to see it.
Normal. Okay. You just go to the show.
It's going to be when people are there, Kevin.
Okay.
Last night, I worked a little on it, and I was writing like your raps, like based on some of your notes.
Yeah.
My pen caught fire.
Whoa.
Letting you know.
That's the only thing that's going to catch fire.
So that's all Friday night. I hope you join us. You can still buy tickets at AXS.com. Right now, though, it's time for B-Mix's Guess.
B-Mix's Guess, yeah.
Ooh, ooh. Brr.
B-Mix's Guess, yeah.
Who gets penis slapped?
Penis a dick.
Pretty dope, man.
Brr. Just want to tell ya.
I am the dumbest human that ever lived.
Now it's time for B-Mix's Guess.
Yes.
I just like to say that a lot of those drops don't make sense.
Thank you, Kevin. I was thinking the exact same thing. They seem really inappropriate for this segment. Guys, we all love a good sports movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
In fact, we have a guest coming in later on today, David Alan Grier, who's got a sports movie out about a young man who becomes one of the sprinting champions in the world. And
right.
There's something inspirational about seeing those athletes persevere and push through and win the big prize. You know, we all love the Rockies of the world and things like that. For some reason, there have been more great baseball movies than any other sport. There's some great boxing movies. There's a couple of good football movies. But there are so many great baseball movies. I don't know what it is about the sport of baseball that lends itself to a great movie, but there have been a ton of them. And that's the topic of today's Bean Makes This Guess. The best baseball movies ever made. This is according to Ranker.com. They had over 80,000 votes on this. So this is what the people think are the best baseball movies of all time. Kevin, you sit at the head of the table. You get the first guess. What say you, sir?
Angels in the Outfield.
Angels in the Outfield is number 16. That was a pretty good guess, though. I'm stunned that you came up with one. I mean, I can't imagine Kevin has ever intentionally and on purpose seen a baseball movie.
That was actually a comedy answer for me. I did not expect it to be on the list at all.
Yeah, well, this is a good
game. Wow, number 16. Not enough for a point, but no. Jensen, you're up next.
Field of Dreams.
Field of Dreams is number one, ladies and gentlemen. considered the best baseball movie of all time. Didn't you just wear a Field of Dreams t-shirt this week?
And I admitted that I had bought dirt from there as a souvenir, and everyone has made fun of me since.
You bought dirt?
Yeah, dirt in a small little test tube.
Is the Field of Dreams in Iowa where everybody wants to go with their dad?
Yeah, if I still had a dad, I'd take it.
Okay. Allie, you're up. What's a great baseball movie, please?
How about A League of Their Own?
A League of Their Own is number 6 on the list. You have a point. Well done.
It's like a female to pick that one.
That's a great movie, by
it
the
is
way.
A great it movie, is. Yeah.
Madonna, Rosie O'Donnell. Kevin, you're up.
Sandlot.
Good one.
Sandlot is number 5. All right. Kevin is in it to win it today. Jensen.
The Natural.
The Natural is number 4. Okay. Allie?
The one with Charlie Sheen.
Mm-hmm. Here we go.
No,
one of Allie's deep dives.
Is it Ben Schwartz?
It's a Wild Thing, and then he comes out and he pitches.
That's the one, right? Yep. Playing for the Cleveland Indians.
Yes.
Right, and the name of the movie is?
I don't know. The Charlie Sheen movie.
Right, that's the movie, but what's the name of it? We're going to need a name.
No, I just described it to you.
Can't you get half a point for the description?
I don't think we have half a point. Okay. Are they? Would you say that the team is playing at a professional level?
Minor leagues, all-star, professional, Major League Baseball. Major League.
Ladies and gentlemen, Major League is the movie. That is number 2.
I'll give it to her.
Look at you guys. I guess it's good that there's no clock like on Jeopardy, right? It's had all the time in the world to flail. All right, Kevin, you're up.
Wow.
I'm going to go Best in Show.
It's a dog show movie.
Yeah.
Dogs. But they play baseball.
No.
Agree to disagree.
All right. Well, maybe you're right. I just haven't seen it in a while.
Yeah.
All right, Jensen, we're doing pretty well in this top 10 so far, but what do you have?
The Original Bad News Bears.
The Original Bad News Bears is number 9 on the list. Well done.
But he's typing into his computer.
I'm using the thing.
The notes. He's using notes.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, we can't see that. Yep. He's a cheater.
All right, let's do Allie McKay.
I'm going to say the greatest sports movie of all time.
Rocky?
And one that my father judges every man I've brought home on.
Raging Bull?
If he hasn't seen it.
Cool Running.
He is not going to be in my life.
And that is called?
It's about hockey, but it's Slapshot.
No, sorry. That's not a good one.
You know what? That didn't make the list of the best baseball movies of all
time. Okay.
I'm sorry to say. All right, let's go around the horn one more time.
Basketball.
There's a bat in it.
Right?
Basketball was the South Park guys movie.
Yes.
Their first movie. Remember about a sport that they invented that crossed baseball and basketball?
Right.
That's a pull, man.
Chip.
That is a pull.
Right. Agreed. Thank you. It was mine.
All right, Jensen, your final guess.
I'll take this home. Do we have number 2 yet?
Yes, Major League was number 2.
Number 3 is available?
Yes.
Bull Durham.
It is number 3, ladies and gentlemen. Bull Durham.
I'll take it.
In fact, we have the top 6 on the list already. And number 9. All right, Allie, your final guess. I feel like Allie's out. I mean, she used Slapshot in the last...
Oh, well, the timer. It hurts.
Just say The Godfather and we'll end this game.
The Godfather.
I'm sorry. No. Make a list. Here's your top 10, by the way. Number 10 was The Rookie. Remember that with Dennis Quaid?
Yes.
Yeah, it was a great, great movie. Number 9 was The Bad News Bears. Number 8, fairly recent movie on this list, Moneyball.
Moneyball.
Which we all saw and loved.
Of course.
Number 7 was a great movie, another Charlie Sheen movie, where he played on the fabled Chicago White Sox team that threw the World Series.
I have that
eight
one,
men out.
I would have got that.
Was number 7. Then A League of Their Own.
Shut up, Jensen. You can just claim,
list.
Oh, yeah,
no,
I have it
on my little notes.
League of Their Own was 6, Sandlot 5, The Natural, Bull Durham, Major League, and Field of Dreams, best baseball movies of all time. This has been Bean Makes Us Guess.
Finally, it's time for the only story that matters.
I guess we got to talk about the cereal pooper.
Of course, because
if we didn't, then Kevin would burn this mother down.
It's the only thing that matters.
You were so excited yesterday about the cereal pooper being discovered. Now, had you talked about this mystery in New Jersey before it was revealed yesterday that they caught the dude, or no?
This is a totally different cereal pooper.
Yeah, I don't
pooper.
Think we did. I think this is a different story than we were aware of, and that led to the excitement.
Yeah.
Okay, so a high school in New Jersey, Homedale High, in the Homedale Township School District, they didn't say exactly how many days, but multiple days in a row, somebody was pooping on the football field. And surveillance was set up, and it is unclear whether that means a video camera or if that meant some poor schmuck with the school district had to be out there at 5 o'clock in the morning waiting to get eyes on whoever was pooping every day. but they caught the person. And the surprise here, and the reason why so many people were delighted by this story yesterday, not only is that this is a professional white-collar dude, Thomas Tramaglini, but he leads a rival school district in New Jersey.
He's a superintendent.
A superintendent of the Kenilworth School District.
He's a pooperintendent.
He...
Sorry. I take it back.
We don't do it quite that fast, Allie.
Okay.
So he, again, is a surprising person to be a pooper. I think usually when we see stories like this, and unfortunately there seem to have been more serial pooping stories in the news in the last couple of years than I think I'd ever seen.
Sure.
It's apparently a thing. This guy has a PhD in educational administration. He has a master's degree from Rutgers and a bachelor's degree from Farley Dickinson.
More like PhD in Butgers, right? Who's with me?
Allie, we're going to have to file that too. To step out. I'm sorry.
He's going to have to do one whole session just on this story.
Since his arrest, he is on a paid leave of
absence. A pooed leave of absence. Am I right?
Okay, yes, why don't you, Evan, you're right.
Why don't you stop too, by the way?
I just want to play.
Why don't you stop too?
Again,
number two.
Yes.
Oh, come on. Don't make me leave.
No, Beads.
So we don't know who found the poop each day. We don't know about the surveillance. What are the charges for serial pooping, you may be wondering?
Littering?
Yes, as
is
a matter
it
of fact.
That's awesome.
As a matter of fact, he violated the state's criminal code defining lewdness. Also, there is a littering.
Am I right?
Yes, you are, Kevin.
Sorry, go ahead.
There is a littering charge involved also. And by the way, no mention in the story, not that we want all the scatological details here, but was toilet paper involved at all?
Oh, didn't see any details on that one.
All the what details?
Scatological? Is that the word?
Scatological?
Yes, yeah. that's what the word means.
Yes, that's what it
so
means.
So funny. Yeah.
Because, and the reason I bring up the toilet paper is not at all to be gross, but it's to suggest that kind of suggests some premeditation.
Oh,
that
sure.
You plan on going there to poop, because his defense may be that he has a I have to poop while running thing.
Right.
Right, but why does he keep going to a rival school district?
That's the thing.
Even to run.
Okay, here's my question to y'all, because right. We don't know. This the details are slow coming here, but maybe he actually lives closer to this school than he lives to a school in his own district,
right,
and it's convenient for him to run there in the morning. Because there is a thing that runners go through where they have to poop while they run.
But don't most runners understand that and sort of are they able to judge it? So it doesn't happen every single day. To me, this has to be on purpose.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. I'm just trying to think. I'm just trying to imagine what his defense could be and what's going to happen. As I mentioned, he is on leave now, and I don't have the details on when the trial will be. But and also, in case you're wondering, this isn't a deal where there is a longstanding rivalry between the football teams. Like twice a year, you know, it's blood on the field. There's no real beef between these two school districts. So it would be weird that he would be doing it on purpose, even if he was what Allie? What do you got?
It rhymes with beef. Never mind. Sorry. I'm now just mouthing it to Kevin to not interrupt you.
And finally, in case you're wondering if there is a psychological explanation for serial pooping, some experts believe that serial pooping is an act of aggression, much like vandalism.
Oh.
Instead of leaving graffiti or slashing a tire to show that you were there, you leave poop to enhance your brand.
Enhance your brand?
Right.
Just find that.
I don't know.
Remember when we had a serial pooper here?
At the station?
Yes.
Yes, I do.
Just destroying the bathrooms everywhere except for the toilet.
And I loved Jed the Fish. I miss him.
We don't know that it was him. I don't
think. Oh, unrelated. I mean, I just off the top of my head.
Right. But it was at least in a bathroom.
Yes, right. But not in a toilet.
Which is very, very
disturbing. We had one of those at KTLA.
You did?
Yeah.
How prevalent is this?
In, like, trash cans.
At least he's taking care of it, sort of.
He?
She? Was it you?
No.
Okay.
Anyway, there's the update on the pooper scandal in New Jersey. We will definitely keep our eyes peeled and keep you posted if we see more.
Our audience knows us, though, because we did receive that tweet about 100 times yesterday going, you guys saw that. You guys saw this, right? You guys saw this, right?
Yes, they insisted that we cover it on the show, so mission accomplished.
It's a very strange category of music to be against, Kevin.
That's what I'm saying.
It's funny because I've always felt this way. Uh-huh. I've probably never said it out loud. And watching all of your responses was quite fascinating.
We were, I don't want to steal your thunder, but it came up because we were somehow talking about the Miami Sound Machine, and you were reminded of their 1-2-3 song that you hate, and then it turned out as...
1-2-3, come on, baby, say you love me, 6-7 times.
And I said, I hate songs with counting in it.
Insane.
And so it's not just that Miami Sound Machine.
No, I have some other examples.
Is an earworm that you can't abide by.
I just like to play a little more of this song to ask a question.
Please.
Sure. Is that how it works? You just count?
You just keep counting and then finally...
And then somebody goes, you know what? I do love you.
You Dude, wore me down.
Women dig math.
Obviously.
That's a bop, right?
I love it. That's the definition of a bop.
So good.
Yeah.
Songs with counting in them are for children.
If that song came on the radio today...
I would tune away from it so quick.
I would turn it up.
I would stop the car and ghost ride the whip. That song is a killer.
All right, how about this song? By the way, I love this song, except for the part where there's counting in it.
Yeah. Ooh, right? Nice.
Right?
Great song.
It's a great song, but stop counting.
He's making a list of things he loves about his lady.
Hold on, he's going to keep counting. That's bogus.
Yeah.
Four repeat steps, just, 1-3.
He needs you to really hammer those steps home. If I make you fall in love with
me, if ever I believe this song rules.
I love the song except for the... That part, except for the counting.
Oh, God.
I can't do the counting.
The counting is the whole song, Kevin.
I know.
That's the structure of the song. It's a list.
So you were fine when he was listing, but then as soon as he said to go back, you were like, too much math.
No, it really started bothering me at the beginning.
Okay,
all right. A song that I like that I hate has counting in it.
I think you should start back at one.
Now, Violent Femmes is a band.
Oh, yeah.
That we love.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And,
I take one. Yes. One, because you left me. And two for my family, and three for my heartache.
Okay, so now I'm like a rock climber, just holding on, man. I like the band, but they're counting.
Mm-hmm.
They're counting too much. But I like the band.
But wait,
so I'm hanging on.
Okay,
but wait, barely. But here it comes.
Four for my headaches, and five for my loneliness.
Now the band is stomping on my fingers, trying to get me to fall off. They really want me to die.
Right.
And six for my sorrow, and seven, no tomorrow, and eight.
So you're hanging on by a branch,
right? I forget what it was for.
I'm right back in. One of the funniest lines in any song ever.
That made that song work for me because it was a funny line.
Okay.
I forget what it was for.
Okay.
Hilarious.
That's a perfect song, Kevin.
Because they know counting is BS, so they made fun of it.
I reject you not liking that song.
What about Feist?
1, 2, 3, 4, tell me that you love me more. Sleepless, long nights.
Out. I don't need counting.
I'm going to say you have created a banging playlist.
I am offended.
Really,
I'm offended by
I'm
it.
Into
this
all
is
of
a
it.
Great mixtape.
But then Feist went to where Feist should have been with this song, and that is Sesame Street.
1, 2, 3, 4 monsters walking across the floor. I love counting to the number 4.
That's my thing. That's why. That's why I hate counting, because it's for children. That's the reason.
I don't know if
there.
I can defend that lyric, but I do like the song.
This is the song, however, that started it all and ends it all. This is the song that I want to drive into a ravine with my car when I hear it.
Wow.
It's so bad, and the counting is so stupid.
It's easy as 1, 2, 1, 2, there's only one thing to do, 3 words for you.
So they're done counting, right?
There's only one way to say those 3 words.
words, and that's what I'll do. I love you.
That song is my nemesis.
Is that the Play My Tees?
Yes.
I don't need that song.
Right?
Yeah, that can be left off the mixtape. That can be left off the tape.
It doesn't have anything to do with the counting, though. It's just a
weak song.
No,
the count, it does have everything to do with the counting. The counting sucks. That song turned me against counting in songs.
Okay. Wow.
Sarah writes in, if you guys don't play New Kids on the Block step by step, I'm going to burn this mother down.
Oh, I didn't get that one.
It's a good jam.
You know,
it's impossible to pull all the songs with counting in it.
We got some more songs to add to your playlist, and we all need a copy, man. Well done.
Okay, 8:05 this morning, we have floor tickets for both nights at the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas, along with the Bud Light Platinum VIP passes for backstage.
Big stuff.
Coming up tonight at 8. Mm-hmm. Allie, how did you find this tweet?
You know me. I barely listen to the show. Mm-hmm. Right. So while the show was happening, I was just scrolling Twitter, and I saw a gentleman that had quote tweeted a tweet. The original tweet was, what is an accomplishment that you're proud of that isn't listed on your CV? A non-professional accomplishment. Hashtag interview questions. So this man named Patrick Meegan, who goes by @PatSweetPat, wound up quote tweeting it, and he wrote, I was in a jail cell with Tom Morello one time, and he used my calling card number on the payphone to dial up K-Rock and talk to Kevin and Bean. And I knew that story, so I was like, oh, that's interesting that this is a guy in there. And then I looked at the comments, and people were like, no. Okay.
What do you mean,
so
no?
People were like,
well, it sounds like a Mad Lib. Yeah, it doesn't sound real.
It absolutely sounds like a Mad Lib. And then a little while later, Tom Morello quote tweeted his tweet and said, it's true. We discussed hotel workers' rights and civil disobedience with my quote, one call. And I thought, we need to talk to Patrick Meegan because we know what it's like getting the call, and you know what it's like getting a little post-it note that said, hey, if Tom Morello calls from jail, definitely pick it up.
We got one of those from Steve-O, too.
Mm-hmm.
A note saying, hey, if Steve-O calls from jail, collect.
Yeah.
Accept the charges.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So we got a hold of Pat Sweet Pat, Patrick Meegan. And we're going to talk to him about what happened in that jail cell.
Hey, Patrick.
Hi, how are you?
We are good, thank you.
Good.
So you were in jail with Tom Morello. What, were you part of the group?
Yeah. There were, I think, like a couple hundred of us, honestly, who got arrested at this civil disobedience on Century Boulevard because there were hotel workers who were fighting for the right to unionize and bargain collectively. So... you know, several hundred of us sat down, this is 2006, sat down on Century Boulevard and made a lot of people miss their flights, so I apologize to anybody who didn't get to LAX that day. And and I got arrested and sent to jail, which was the whole point, and apparently Tom Morello did as well. And we apparently were in the same cell. These were big cells. There were maybe 20, 40 of us in there, and I doubt I knew who Tom Morello was. Like, I had seen Rage Against the Machine, like at like Lollapalooza or whatever. It's not like I was a huge fan. But then somebody yells out, there's a payphone in this giant cell, and somebody, and you need a calling card number to dial out, apparently. And, you know, none of us had our wallets, but somebody yells out, hey, does somebody know a calling card number so that this Rage Against the Machine guy can call Kevin and Bean?
What a weird thing to hear in jail.
Yeah.
So, and you said, I remember stuff. So you remembered your calling card number?
Yeah, but this was a time, like a not a great time in my life when I didn't have like long distance service on my phone for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. So like if I wanted to call my parents or something, I had to dial this calling card number, and so which I think maybe they were paying for. So maybe my parents called. They're paid for Tom Morello.
Right. So they should have responded to that tweet.
Yeah, can we talk to them? Can you put them on the phone?
I'm sorry, I should have brought them in. But I was like, yeah, I know a calling card number. So I went over and I like just basically dictated the number for Tom Morello. And then I just went back to my bunk, and I didn't even stick around to, like, listen. Like, honestly, I didn't know, like, maybe he's calling his girlfriend or, you know, I don't even know who. His mom, or my mom, maybe, honestly. And
wouldn't have been great if he called your mom.
Would have been a bad look.
It would have been, the circle would have been complete.
It would have been awesome.
But then I just went back to my bunk, honestly.
Because you listened to Mark and Brian?
Yeah,
and you're like,
Mark
I want
and Brian
no part of this?
No, because I was tired. I'd been up all night. I was
got
in
it.
Jail. I'm
got
kind
it.
Of tired in jail.
Hey, I'm not judging. Hey, take it easy.
The only way we're judging is if you make more traffic in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, okay. Well, so judge me for that.
No.
But, But I, so I just went back to my bunk, honestly, and then kind of forgot about it. And, like, when I finally got out of jail, like, it didn't even occur to me to, like, follow up. Like, hey, did anyone listen to Kevin and Bean? So, and then, I don't know, it was, like, several years later, I was playing Guitar Hero with my kids, and there's, like, a one of the levels you have to compete against Tom Morello.
Right.
And so he appears on, you know, my video game screen. I'm like, oh, my God, I was in jail with that guy.
Your kids are like, Dad, what?
Wow. Dad's a badass.
Yeah. So, and then that was kind of it. Like I said, I never even knew if he got on. I knew he said he was calling K-Rock, but I didn't know for sure. And then, you know, and then I saw that tweet, so I tweeted what I did. And then immediately, you know, Ali responded. And I'm like, oh, I guess he did call in.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I was shocked. I've actually never even heard the call.
All right. Well, Patrick, I'm going to put you on hold, and you're going to hear it because we're going to play. We have about a three-minute clip of the call.
Okay.
Tom Morello calling us from jail using your card.
Yeah, while you're over in a bunk getting a tattoo. You got a jail tattoo while you're
first
there.
First of all, can we just discuss how quickly he claimed a bunk?
Yeah,
right?
Right? He's like, I went over to my bunk.
Was this
we were here like 20 minutes.
Yeah, was this your first time in jail, Patrick?
I went over to, like, the biggest, toughest hotel worker I could
sure.
find and punched him in the face.
Punched him in the face.
Got to do it. You got to do it.
That's what you have to do. All right, here's the call from Tom Morello.
First, though, we shouldn't be blabbing because I think we've got a prisoner on the line, don't we?
We do, as a matter of fact. Tom Morello, apparently, is what I'm being told, is calling from jail. Good morning, Tom.
What's going on, man? Calling you from jail. What up?
Calling us from jail.
Yeah.
Tom, I hope we're not your one phone call. Please tell me you already spoke with your attorney.
I need to request a new Muse song.
Now, Tom, dude. I saw a report that you were protesting, what was it, bad working conditions?
That's correct. Standing up for the hotel workers and demanding a living wage, and I wound up in jail. How about that?
How did that happen exactly? Why did you get arrested?
It was the largest act of civil disobedience in the history of Los Angeles, California, and I played a couple of songs as the night watchman, and then about 400 of us got dragged off to jail for blocking Century Boulevard.
So, Patrick, you were there as well.
I was, yeah. I was one of those folks.
All right.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, clearly, if you were standing out...
Great.
Tom, if you were standing out in the street blocking traffic, you were basically asking to be arrested, though, right?
Yeah. It was civil disobedience. We knew what we were getting into. Yeah.
How do you find out about something like that?
The police are now summoning me here. I've got them.
Tell them to F off. Come on, yeah. Tom.
I gotta go, bro. I got the. Yeah.
All right.
Let me give you a call. He's one of the organizers, and he knows what he's talking about.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks.
Why? You know why he didn't give us to Patrick? Because he was on his bunk.
He was on his bunk.
Aggressively on his
Patrick
bunk.
Patrick was yes. building a shiv over in the corner.
Got Tom Morello calling from jail.
Hey, I can't compete with Tom, but I can tell you whatever you want to hear.
Well, tell us how this.
Wait a second, Tom. Tom got some food and grub.
I had to shank a dude for some cranberry juice.
What's the food like, Tom? Did you just get some food?
Yeah, they just took pity on me because we're starving in here. I was on a hunger strike earlier.
Hey, Tom, you. I hate to ask this because I know it's very serious, but you're a good-looking guy. Do you have a girlfriend named Bubba yet?
Dude, I'm running the cell block right now. All right.
Different time. Listen, 2006.
I may come for you after a comment like that.
How many times have you been in jail, Tom?
Is the FBI listening to this broadcast?
Probably.
I think this makes four. Sorry, there may be another call to they may be getting ready to.
Four, Patrick. How many times have you been arrested?
Twice.
What was the other one?
Occupy LA. It was another civil disobedience.
Good for you. Patrick is he's a real protester.
All right.
Frisk you.
Hose
you down.
But someone let me know if they call my name.
Request a cavity search. That's fun.
Yeah, well, we're long past that.
Okay.
I survived that one.
You know, a lot of little boys and girls grew up thinking how glamorous the life of a rock star is. I think they might be surprised if they look at Tom.
You have to put your guitar where your mouth is. And this is one of those instances where I'm really, you know, proud to stand up with the hotel workers, even though we're spending the night in jail.
What happens to you? What can they do to you with this arrest? Is it just you pay a fine and you get out, or do you have to then go back?
I'm still in jail right now trying to figure that out. It's so,
okay.
It's so, I'm ready to go toe-to-toe in the middle of the cell. Right
are they giving you any kind of an indication of how long this is going to take?
We've heard now from 2 to 48 more hours.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Do you have a coffee cup that you can bang along the bars?
That's what we've been doing.
Okay, good. All right.
Okay,
well,
thanks for having me. I got to go, bro.
Anytime,
okay,
man.
Thanks, bye.
Thanks,
bye.
Tom. Bye-bye.
Patrick, how long did it take?
We were in there, I want to say we were in there about like 24 hours, but like because it was, you know, such a pre-planned thing and there were like state senators and like, you know, city council people in there too, and they all got out mysteriously after about a half hour.
Yeah, what? Right. Yep. Yeah, how is that possible?
The rest of us had to hang out there for a while.
For about 24 hours.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, when he's not occupying L.A. or fighting for hotel work, he is a writer on The Family Guy, which is amazing. Patrick, right?
Yeah, yeah. Writer for Family Guy. Ralph Garman does a lot of voices there.
He does, he's the pal, yeah.
Dang, it's awesome, yeah.
Well, very cool. Right,
oh, cool. I thought you were the classical saxophonist. But you're you're the writer?
No, yeah. And there's also, yeah, I've got two, like, doppelgangers out there. It's like a journalist in New Hampshire that is also me, and they're all terrible.
Well, they're not going to jail twice in their life, tell you that much.
Right.
No, they are not.
Tough guy Patrick Meegan from Family Guy.
Patrick, thanks for talking to us this morning. We appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Don't forget, you can see that band right there, Cage the Elephant, along with Beck, Jimmy Eat World, Young, the Giant, Angels and Airwaves, and more at night number one of the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas. Tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. Get your details at K-Rock.com.
Chick-fil-A!
By the way, Fluffy joining us just after 8 o'clock this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, and an all-new edition of Animal Stories. That's coming up on K-Rock.
Hey, stop stalling. It's time for Mr. Bad Example. Now, Bean doesn't always give good examples, but what I'm fascinated by is... A lot of times the first, second, or third one is crazy.
Yeah.
It's not like he's listing 50 examples, and by the time he gets down to 48, he's out.
Mm-hmm.
So then he starts picking the obscure.
Yeah.
Sure. He pretty much goes right for the obscure from the beginning, and that's why we do Mr. Bad Example.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
He really sucks.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
Such a schmuck.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
You'll see what we mean.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
His name is Bean.
But can I just say in my defense that this show is not scripted? We are improvising. It is live.
Mm-hmm. Right, but my point is it's not – these are the ones that come to your mind first. I'll give you a perfect example we don't have audio of.
Okay.
We were doing an interview after Breakfast with Green Day. And somebody asked Bean, what is it like to see Green Day when they're at the top of their game? And he said, it's just like anything else, man. It's like when you watch anybody, any professional, like a professional origami maker.
Oh, Bean.
That was the first thing that came to his mind.
Bean.
He didn't say sports team or like anything else that we might think.
But those origami makers are really good.
Is that even a thing?
I don't think so.
I mean, there are people who do it.
Yes, but
are they professional?
No, I'm probably not professional.
Right. Are they competing against each other?
So I'm saying,
isn't that odd
that that would be the first thing that came to your mind?
Right.
Yeah. I feel like my point was made.
Okay. The first clip here is a guy that got caught having sex by his parents.
In all honesty, it was actually a clean one. I think if they had it been freshly clean, so I don't remember any.
Oh, that's sweet that you tell yourself that. That you've revised the story so you can live with it.
Look, it was his first time. I mean, he could have done it in a pit of snakes and he would have loved it, you know?
Yeah.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
Huh.
I mean,
he could have done it.
No one has ever lost his virginity in a pit of
snakes.
In a
pit of snakes.
But if you did, you'd still be into it.
But how is that the first thing?
I can't answer that.
I mean.
All right. We did a study, I think, on people who don't change their underwear enough.
Men.
Men
who
don't change their underwear enough. We were very horrified by that.
I don't think I've ever worn the same underwear for 2 days. Maybe if I slept at a friend's house and forgot a pair or something without mistakes.
Like last weekend?
That doesn't count. But
is it possible that we're talking camping, we're talking military service, we're talking just
worse?
You're on a walkabout? I mean, I don't know.
you're on a walkabout.
That might be. Oh, yeah, right here it says, in fact, a lot of people are on a walkabout.
You know what I mean?
Oh, my God.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
What is a walkabout?
I mean, it's just a long hike.
It's like a spiritual hike.
It's a hike, but in Australia, I think.
Yes, but I'm saying if you're out there, it's similar to camping.
In his defense, that was his third example.
Right.
So,
it really
third
was.
Of
I'll
three.
Allow that.
Will you?
Oh, come on.
I don't think we're saying if you'll allow it or not.
It's a walkabout.
Andrea Savage, one of our favorite people.
Oh, she's the best.
Was in the studio. She was talking about the fact that she had sold 8 or 9 TV shows to the network who'd paid her for them, and they didn't make those shows.
Mm-hmm.
And Bean couldn't get his head around it. They would buy them.
They would buy them. So I paid for them. And a lot of them were
turned out well, and they were like, we love these. We're not going to make them because of blah, blah, blah. And which was a weird. I was like, you're not saying anything.
Why are you saying blah, blah,
blah? You're just saying blah,
blah, blah.
That's
not a reason.
And so many of them said
but
it like
I don't
that.
Understand. I don't understand show business then, because I would not go to the store today and buy a lawnmower and then just take it home and put it in my basement and never use it.
Great example.
File the example.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
Disgust.
First thing that came to his mind.
That is crazy.
Going to a store and buying a lawnmower. How many times have you done that? How many times have you done that in your life? Never? You've never done that. You all right?
This is where I
lose got pneumonia.
Oh, we found the cop button again.
I'm good because I have more examples.
I'm back. Yeah, I'm okay.
Okay. Beer mug stuck in traffic, literally not moving, pretty much in park. Mm-hmm.
Okay, bye now, Mugs.
Okay.
Listen to how exasperated and exhausted he sounds.
Oh, everyone knows that feeling, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's so frustrating.
Might as well just get out of the car, stretch.
Wander around.
Mm-hmm.
Meet some chicks.
Yep.
What?
I'm positive that's where you're going to meet the chicks.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
I mean, you could. If
this one's difficult for me to...
Oh, really, please.
Well, because thank I want Mugs.
He's
going to
get out of his car in that frustration, and he's going to meet a chick.
I just don't want to ever
make it
seem...
That's where all the good hookups happen.
I just don't ever want to condemn Mugs for trying to find love. That's what I'm saying.
That's sweet.
Because what a meet cute story
he's
that would be.
He's not going to find...
If you met on the 405 right, because that would the be traffic
You know that REM video that everybody hurts?
Right?
Yeah, they were all stuck in traffic.
And looking for someone to love. You know, it was a really cool meet-up.
A real meet cute story.
Yeah. It's like Tinder.
There was a story about a son, and I believe he was taking his grandma to every like national park in the United States or something, and it seemed odd to us.
She had a blast rolling down the dunes at Great Dunes National Park and Reserve. She said, I figured I'm only going to be here once. Might as well go down it.
Her grandson is trying to kill me.
How
much inheritance is involved here?
I just want to ask for sure. She's in on this? She wants to do this?
She absolutely is. Huh? She also came face to face with wildlife.
Excellent.
Her grandson said.
Her grandson is really trying to knock her off.
Actually, when I read this quote, you're going to be like, Allie, rethink this.
And he threw his grandmother into a lion pit.
Grandson said, when you have a full-grown moose running straight at you and your grandma can't run away from it, you just have to stand there and hope for the best.
What?
By the way, Bean?
Yeah.
How many lion pits?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. In... Oh, those lion pits.
You know, the very popular Lion Pit National Park.
Sure.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
I mean, I don't know what's wrong with that guy.
How is lion pit the first thing that comes into your mind? Because it doesn't exist anywhere.
No.
There's no such thing.
A lion pit.
Just a grandson throwing his banana in a lion pit.
Well, we got to take Nana to the lion pit again.
Well, you knew it was coming.
Everyone has their day.
That's yours, Disney, for the next movie after Lion King.
We're doing Mr. Bad Example. And finally, you've been dating for a while, but the other person doesn't ever take you to their house, or you don't ever take them to your house.
Yes,
it's sort of weird.
Yep.
And why?
I bet there have been a lot of situations with dating where somebody just doesn't want you at their house because they just don't want you to see how they live. You know,
they just think it represents them poorly.
Yeah. Like, if, you know, you're a slob or whatever. You don't want to bring somebody over or I don't know. You don't want them to know you've got a whole bunch of tarantulas.
What is going on?
You don't want them to know.
What am I dating Billie Eilish?
You have a bunch of tarantulas in your house.
Yes. Just all willy-nilly.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
Oh, my God.
He couldn't even get it out, though. He at
knew.
Least realized
he knew.
He
knew.
He pulled the ripcord on that one. That's not a good example, though, right? How many people just have tarantulas walking around all willy-nilly?
Not many.
He's Mr. Bad Example. His name.
Quick reminder, tickets are on sale right now for night number one of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas with Beck and Cage the Elephant, Jimmy Eat World, Young the Giant, Angels and Airwaves, and more. Tickets are going on sale for the pre-sale for K-Rock Street Team members for night number two, Thursday at 10 a.m. And that's your Mumford & Sons, 21 Pilots, 1975 Rockin' Tours, and more. You can get all the information. Make sure you get your password ready to go on Thursday at krock.com. And keep standing by for chances to win those tickets, because as we get a little bit closer, we'll be giving them away as well here on The Kevin and Bean Show.
You know what I've noticed? People are dumb. First story comes out of Tuscaloosa, Alabama. A student at the University of Alabama is in jail after police say he made threats to LSU's Tiger Stadium. Freshman Connor Bruce Kroll, 19 years old,
is suspected of calling in a bomb threat at Tiger Stadium during Saturday's game against the University of Florida. Police say admitted to calling in the bomb threat, saying that he wanted to stop the game because... What are your guesses?
They were behind?
They were behind.
Yeah, he doesn't like jocks.
Okay, mm-hmm. Bean?
I agree with Allie. I think you want to stop the game because you're afraid your team's going
to
lose.
He wanted to stop the game because, quote, his friend was on the verge of losing a large bet.
Oh, no. I mean, that's a good wingman.
Dude, I've got you.
I'm yeah. Call.
No kidding. So he calls. He's being held in Tuscaloosa without bond and is expected to face charges in Baton Rouge, which include making a false bomb threat on school property.
Wow. So he's in Alabama. The game is either in Louisiana or Florida, but his friend is at the game. So he calls in the bomb threat from where he is. He's not even at the game. Wow.
Correct.
That guy is really looking out for his buddy,
right?
Man.
Good I friend. Say good on him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let him go. That's the kind of friendship everyone's looking
Let
for.
Let him go.
Yes.
I'm not sure I go that far.
No, I...
Next story comes out of Illinois. A man was arrested after allegedly giving police a fake name, despite having his real name tattooed on his neck.
They'll never know.
Matthew Brushman, 36, supposedly gave a false ID and birth certificate to officers. Who has a fake birth certificate with them?
Criminals.
That's a great question.
Yeah, absolute criminals.
Authorities said that Bushman, or Matty B, as it said right across his neck, had a warrant out for his arrest in Peoria County, and so he lied about his name. He was arrested on October 11th for obstructing justice, and he was booked at the Coles County Jail.
Now, I don't know who Matty B is, officer. I know what you're talking about. This right. tattoo on my neck? I've never heard that name before in my life.
I never got a tattoo on my neck. I don't know what you're talking about.
It's my friend. I'm willing to do anything for him. I called in the LSU game for him.
Man drives him by himself in a stolen car to take his driving test. This story comes out of the UK, Bean.
Oh.
The man drove to take his driving test and then took the driving test and failed it for the 10th time.
By the way, this is giving me anxiety because I'm going to be taking my UK driving test very, very soon. So I hope it's not hard.
What? You drive on the wrong side of the road. That's the first five.
Right.
We might have to do the topic of how many times did you fail your driving test.
Yes.
Oh, man.
This guy, I failed the first time. I had to take it twice.
Really?
Yep.
That doesn't sound very Bean-like.
No.
I, at the time, could not parallel park, and you had to do that
the
back
time,
then
that was important, yeah.
On the test.
Really?
But I am the world's greatest parallel parker now.
Now that no one cares.
Now that no one cares. Right,
exactly. I want the record to show that Dave is letting us know he failed three times.
Wow.
Okay.
All right, we're going to have to do
was
that
Was it
topic.
Raining? And he couldn't put his windshield wipers on.
This guy failed his test for the 10th time, and then the police noticed, the car that he drove here in by himself is stolen.
Oh, man.
So they arrested him on suspicion of stealing the car, and he's being held without bail as well. This one comes out of Wilson, North Carolina. Officers stopped a vehicle on October 5th at the Food Mart. The authorities got out of the car. They approached the car that they had pulled over, and the car that they pulled over took off. And the officers chased the vehicle for about 2 miles before the driver of a black Ford Taurus with the blue lights on top pinned the suspect vehicle between it and the police car. So now this guy stops the car that's running away.
Sure.
The driver of the Taurus, David Adams, 30, pulled out a gun.
Oh.
Ordered the driver of the suspect vehicle out of the car. Adams then handcuffed the suspect and began searching him.
Okay. This is just a random dude?
Then the police said, hey, stop. And they checked into it, and the cops arrested Adams for determining that he was not a police officer.
Okay?
He's just helping.
He's a vigilante.
And he had handcuffs?
He had handcuffs.
I mean.
He pulled the gun, and he handcuffed him and started searching him. And the police are like, hey, do you know that guy? No, I don't know that guy. He's not a police officer.
That's like citizen's arrest. Became a cop. Yeah. Just one day, you just put on an outfit. You're like, I'm a cop now.
Outfit.
A Florida man, Joseph Benick, 24, was arrested Saturday on multiple charges after police say he vandalized a local business. There's two businesses named in this story. The guy does not work at either of them. Mm-hmm. Benick had driven a forklift from United Plumbing. So first he broke into United Plumbing. He got a forklift and he drove it to the neighboring business, iMold. And he started to break down the property's fence. Once inside, he took out a hammer and started smashing office and car windows with the hammer. Beanie then returned to United Plumbing, the first place, took off all his clothes, and jumped in the shower.
Huh. Okay, he was just testing it out.
I guess. I don't know why. Did they have a shower?
Probably to show, like, water pressure, that type of thing, for a plumbing supply.
Oh, that makes sense, yeah. From there, the man completely naked grabbed his hammer and started smashing windows in that business.
Is that a euphemism?
Nope.
Okay.
No, grabbing his hammer? No, yeah. It's not. An employee at United Plumbing heard several bangs that came out of the office and found him, quote, standing in the warehouse with a hammer in his hand.
Again.
Court records show that Beanie faces several charges, including burglary, grand theft, and criminal mischief.
Good Did Lord. We ever find out why he was smashing up these businesses?
No idea.
Not at all.
Naked with a hammer?
Yep, naked with a hammer.
I'm going to guess drugs.
That's just a Wednesday night Florida. In Florida, I guess.
It's Florida, so it's has to be bath salts, right?
Yeah.
And finally, man tries to steal a flute by sticking it down the back of his pants.
Oh, dear.
Here's the story.
This is a
shoplifter used a rather strange tactic as he attempted to make off with some merchandise. NBC 15's Tim Elliott shows us how the crime caught on camera might crack you up.
Oh, the crime might crack
because he stuck it down the back of his pants.
Right. Crack.
So she says, crack you up. Right. You get it?
Right. Yeah.
Surveillance video catches the cheeky thief.
Oh, cheeky.
Twice.
You're a loser.
Come on now.
In the act, you can see the massive flute down his pants and running up his back.
Again, here's the owner of the store.
That was shocking. That part, I just actually couldn't help but laugh about it.
Tony Farrell is the owner of Voight Music Center on Main Street in downtown Janesville.
It was actually right here next to a couple of other flutes.
He says on Friday, this man milled around the store for a bit before making a beeline for the flute.
By the way, they weren't down his pants. He was showing them where the flutes were.
It was right here by a couple of other flutes.
It's a music store. I don't know. But the guy grabs it and walks it.
Truly a detailed man.
Right. He's by these other flutes.
Right here, by these other flutes. You'd be surprised to hear they're near the other flutes.
So the surveillance video shows him walking around with it in his hand.
Took it right off the wall and walked right over here with it in his hand.
You can see him carrying the flute, but then
went right behind where a camera is and put it down the back of his pants. It was just so ridiculous.
By the way, I just want to point out that it was so visible, it's comical.
Yeah.
Because it was like 2.5 feet.
Yeah.
So the bottom part of it was sticking out the back of his pants.
Oh.
And then the top part of it had moved his shirt and coat
He
up.
Didn't even put his shirt over it.
Right. So you can just, you can see.
Like a tent.
Yes. It was absurd.
Just would not expect somebody to be so... Well, stupid.
I like it when they call you stupid.
It says the guy who told us the flutes were over there near the flutes.
Near the flutes.
Farrell's mother confronted the would-be thief before he could walk out the door.
All right, so she comes up to him and she says, dude, flute in your pants, what's up? Mm-hmm. What does he say? What's his excuse?
I'm just happy to see you.
Okay.
All right.
Allie?
I really want my kid to play the flute, and I can't afford it, so I'm stealing it and shoving it down my pants.
You made a really sad story
out
of this.
Yeah, it's very sad.
Even if that's the case, do you want to play a flute that's shoved down your pants?
Here's what I'm going to say.
Yes, Pete.
You think you're impressed now. Wait till I start playing it with my butt.
That's a better ending, but only by a little bit.
Oh, I've got a flute. That's where I keep my flutes.
Wait, what?
He said he came into the store, and he has flutes, and that's where he keeps them. So he came into the actual store.
He already had that flute.
Yes, it was his flute that he already had.
Oh. Did not see that coming.
And that's where he keeps them in general, just all the time, just in case.
And so she pulled it right out of his pants and said, oh, you keep your flutes with our tag on it. In the back of your pants?
The man got away empty-handed, but now Farrell had this soiled glute flute on his hands.
Oh.
Glute flute.
Soiled. Why? Glute soiled.
Flute. I couldn't, in good conscience, have anybody ever put their lips to that instrument.
He's way better than I am, because I would have put that on sale.
The butt flute.
And that's when Farrell got this bright idea.
Hey, what the heck? Let's make something good out of it.
He turned the instrument into this beautiful lamp.
We've had lots of dumb criminals before.
What is going on?
He took the flute.
This story has everything.
He took the glute flute. And then he made a lamp out of it.
Why?
Because he couldn't sell it to anybody because it had
butt on it.
Does he at any point say, I keep it here with my other lamps?
Usually gotten caught doing stupid things, but No, this is the best.
This is the
pretty
best.
Pretty judgmental for a guy who's working at a flute shop,
too
by
much,
the way.
Yeah. Too much.
Too much.
And that's... All right. We got a tweet from a listener. Miguel Salcito was his...
Manuel Salgado. I mean, I can't with any of you in this room right now.
At least we're not a radio station in Los Angeles filled with a Hispanic community that makes up most of the city.
Manuel Salgado, not Miguel Salcito.
So Miguel Salcito, he tweets us.
Holy crap!
And he says, hey, I'm just paraphrasing now. He may not have said these exact words, but man, is your show the best. And boy, do I love it. And I listen all the time. And you guys are geniuses and handsome, too. And then he said, but I've got a suggestion for a call-in topic for your listeners. And this very rarely happens where somebody makes a suggestion of a topic that we've never done before. Mm-hmm. But he said, if you could go back in time and uninvent something, what would it be? Mm. And I started thinking about that, and I thought, man, there's a lot of things on my list of things that were supposed to move the civilization forward, make the world a better place, and it has done nothing but make it worse. And if somebody had never thought of that, I think we'd all be better off.
Yeah.
So if you'll allow me to go first, and then we'll go around the room and then include some phone calls from you, the Kevin and Bean listener, at 1-800-520-1067. Here's a couple of the things that I would uninvent. And I will start with my mortal foe, and it's come up on this program before, and we've discussed it, and that is the goddamn mother effing leaf blower.
Oh.
Yeah.
Unnecessary. For thousands of years, you know what we did? Is we raked or swept leaves out of the street.
Right.
For thousands of years, Allie.
He gets so mad.
And then some a-hole came up with, you know what? There's a way to make this household chore miserable for everybody who lives within 5 miles of the house by putting a big old loud engine on it and only allowing leaf blowing to happen before 8 a.m. on a Saturday.
Do you think he's foaming at the mouth?
I am. Thank you. There
no.
it is.
Oh, there it is.
There it is.
The window beam.
Yeah. When you hear that leaf blower go off and you know you've got 20 minutes of this BS ahead of you, you think, why don't you spend the extra 10 minutes and just rake? All right?
Oh, the
Stop
streets
it.
Are so clean, though.
Stop it.
And our neighbors are so
And
dirty.
I'd also like to add, in addition to how awful the invention is, most people who use a leaf blower, what do? They blow the leaves to the other side of the street.
Yeah, there's no raking involved.
There's no raking. It's not like they blow them into a corner and then bag them and put them away. They just blow them onto my yard. Leaf blowers. Who's with me?
There's a deafening from the studio.
Yeah.
How are you guys cool with leaf blowers? When you hear them, you go, "Oh, that's making the world a better place." I'm glad that was invented.
I don't get angry at them.
I hate sound in general. I don't even like motorcycles that are super loud like that. So I get what you're saying. I just don't think they come up as much in 2018. The leaf blower does it.
I find they come up too much.
Because they're technically illegal here, right?
Yeah.
They should be.
Depends on the neighborhood.
And they made electric ones that are a lot quieter.
But they should be illegal everywhere.
Yeah, it still blows it just into the neighbor's yard.
You're not wrong.
If you'll permit me one more.
Sure.
Because I'm fired up about this.
Yeah, you are.
Standing on his chair.
And I have said in the past, when I run for governor, and it's unlikely I'll run for governor, but if I did, I believe I would be elected on the strength of this one campaign promise. I will make illegal... And we will go back in time and we will uninvent the ability for websites to autoplay video and audio.
Okay.
You cannot go to a website and have it automatically start playing a song, an ad, a TV show, whatever's on that site. You have to physically hit a button if that's what you want to happen. Autoplay is the curse of the 21st century.
See, I think they fixed that problem is when you scroll down, it stops playing. And I don't mind that.
You have to whack. It's like playing whack-a-mole to sometimes get the two ads that are playing at the same time.
And sometimes you can't figure out where the sound is coming from on a
yes.
page.
Yes, and I'm a guy like many people who work with computers who have 4 or 5 pages open at a time, and sometimes something will start.
Okay.
You know, 4 minutes in, something will start, because they have a time runner or something, and it's a miserable experience.
Yeah.
And I know, obviously, why they do it, because that's how they sell advertising, or that's how they get views, that's how they get credit for it. But we should uninvent that. The person who came up with that needs to be put down.
Wow, jeez, okay.
All right. So that's that's two of a list of 1,100 that I have, by the way. But I want to give everybody else some time before we go to your calls for uninventions at 1-800-520-1067. Alan McKay, you're up.
Just going along the same vein with you, with computers, when you get an email and it says click to unsubscribe, and you click to unsubscribe, and then you have to log in to something that you never subscribed to in the first place just to opt out. F you!
Not wrong.
It drives me nuts.
Not wrong.
Yes. And by the way, you don't subscribe to 99% of the unsubscribe notices that you hit.
Before you go, can I ask you why you're unsubscribing? Well, I didn't sign up for it. Thank you.
Yeah, death to the person who wrote that. I'm with you. 100%. Let's uninvent that.
A couple quick ones, though.
Yes.
The Fox News.
Fair.
Let's get rid of that.
Balanced. Fair and balanced. Yeah.
Thank you. Neck beards. Whoever invented that, let's get rid of that.
Hey, relax.
Okay. But I think my main one that I think a lot of people will not agree with, but once I finish this, they will. Magnifying mirrors are great. If you have like a weird hair, ladies, it'll happen later in life, probably on your chin. Great, so you could find it, tweeze it, get it out. But magnifying mirrors in hotel rooms, no, unacceptable. I will not let that happen.
I think that would be a courtesy for the female guests to have something they can use.
No, you will not leave that mirror. You will find 18 million things wrong before you're supposed to be meeting people down for dinner. You're like, are my pores this big? Yeah. This is insane.
You're basically roommates with a blackhead.
At that point. It's insane. So magnifying mirrors in hotels, uninvented. Oh,
so that's too much. That's too much honesty for you.
Too much.
Oh, but it makes your junk look so big, though.
Dave, King of Mexico, there's a reason you're in here, right? Oh, please, let's forget we heard that. I'd like to uninvent that line.
Yeah, what you got, neckbeard?
That sentence. Yeah, neckbeard, what do you have?
Listen, it's something that everyone doesn't use, and it's worthless. It is the windshield wiper on the automobile. No one needs it, especially in California.
Everyone needs it.
People use it. Because they're dumb and it causes accidents.
They
this is
use
crazy.
It so they can see so they out can of
survive,
a window.
So they can survive.
You don't need it. You do not need it during the rain. The rain goes off the windshield wiper while you're driving. And the windshield while you're driving. You do not need the wiper. The wiper is a BS invention just to sell more parts on the automobile.
You're technically arguing with science.
No, it's not science.
It is because the water, if it comes too hard, I'm not going to see out the window.
Listen. There's actually products where you could spray your windshield, and the Rain-X. It's perfect. It goes right off the windshield.
So you
don't need the wipers.
Get rid of a product with another product. Yeah, absolutely.
Get rid of a product that comes with your car and buy a different one.
No.
Sounds like someone works for Rain-X.
He's totally in big Rain-X's pocket.
Absolutely.
You can get Rain-X.
Dave, I don't exercise this option often as the co-host of the program, but I'm going to put you on a timeout. I'm sorry. You're not going to be allowed to talk anymore.
Beat it, kid.
Beat it, kid, indeed. Jensen, what do you got?
Mine's easy. I think this is the stupidest. I can't understand why at restaurants I have to get a customer receipt and a restaurant receipt copy. Just give me one. You'll keep it. I don't need two because then there's a problem where they put the customer one on top and I sign that one. Then I realize I haven't signed the restaurant's one. This is all crazy. This is stupid.
What about expense reports?
Expense reports. I'm dealing with that. Mm-hmm. Just ask for an extra receipt.
Okay.
When you sign it, can I get a copy of this receipt? Absolutely. The same way you would do it in other places, a gas station even.
Okay.
You know
but
what I'm
99%
saying?
99% of the time you're at a restaurant, it's not that you're going to turn that in as a receipt. It's just you wasting paper.
Right.
Yes.
Because they bring out too many copies.
And also, do you think there's a difference between the two receipts?
No.
There's no difference. It just says customer on it.
Customer
so if I sign,
merchant
if
copy.
I sign the customer when they can still keep it as the merchant copy.
Yeah.
It's all a BS industry.
All right.
Big paper.
Big paper. Also a small one. I think deep dish pizza is garbage. Okay, moving on.
Oh,
hot take Joan.
Word.
Hot take Joan strikes again.
All right. Let's take one call before the break, and then we'll get to the rest at 1-800-520-1067. All right. I want to start with Dan in Lakewood. Please line two. I don't even understand this, but apparently it's so important to Dan that he wants to go back in time and uninvent what, sir?
No, I don't want to just go back in time and uninvent it. I want to punch him in the mouth.
Okay, what's going on? What's the problem?
The flathead screw. Flatheads. You need a flathead screwdriver to unscrew, and it flips out and gouges whatever you're working on. I work construction. It needs to be uninvented. Why didn't they just come up with the Phillips?
Phillips, yeah. He's saying Phillips, all Phillips or nothing.
Okay.
All Phillips all the time. Now, why, in your opinion, you're a guy who's been in the industry, so you must know, why does the flathead screw exist?
I don't know.
To sell different screwdrivers.
I think they invented it first. It had only one line on it. Then somebody said, oh, if we put two lines on it, it won't slip out and crush whatever you're working on.
Okay.
You know what? He's right, though.
He's
because
not wrong.
The Phillips, you get right in there, and it's just in the groove, and it never slips out.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the flathead makes a great shiv.
By the way, Dave, you're on a timeout right now, so shut up.
Sorry.
Dan, I think you have convinced us. You have pointed out a problem we did not realize existed. Thank you. You've done the world a great service today. We appreciate you listening. 1-800-520-1067. What would you uninvent? We'll talk to you next on K-Rock. Taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. What would you uninvent? By the way, if I just may throw this out there, gender reveal parties
are not
a necessary thing. Yeah, we don't really care whether your dumb kid is a boy or a girl, and it's a giant, colossal, hey, look at me. Just send out a note, an email. Hey, we just went to the doctor. We found out it's a girl. That's all you need to do.
It's a good one.
Don't turn it into a thing. All right, let's go to Andrew, line one. He is in Fullerton, and he joins us on the Kevin Bean Show. You get to uninvent a thing. What's it going to be, Andrew?
The one thing I would uninvent is the shake weight.
The shake weight?
Huh. The shake weight.
Isn't that a thing that has that some people claim has helped them lose weight? It's an exercise aid?
Have you ever used one?
No.
Okay, so when your 86-year-old grandmother orders a shake weight, pretty sexual hand movement going on.
Yeah.
It's cringy and uncomfortable. And
okay, you know, fair enough. Okay. Andrew has been scarred by seeing Nana using the shake weight, you guys.
Here's the thing, Andrew, if you have the time, Google she's a world-renowned journalist, Allie McKay shake weight, and it might change your mind. It got 3 million views in 2 days until my work,
we took it down. I've seen it.
You don't have any problem with watching Allie with a shake weight. It's just you don't want to see grandma with a shake weight.
Oh, no, of course not.
All right. Okay, very good, sir.
86-year-old grandma.
Appreciate the call. Our best to grandma. 1-800-520-1067. We're taking your calls on what would you uninvent next on K-Rock. I promise I'm not trying to eat up all the time, but may I throw one more out there?
I mean, I just assume you have a little diary in front of you that's written out like a serial killer with thousands of these. So go ahead, please.
I am angry at the world, and I do write a lot of strongly worded letters. The topic on the table is what would you uninvent if you could go back in time? And I'm going to suggest this. The guy who invented this
needs to be
shot and buried. Actually, you know what? Don't shoot him. Just bury him.
Bean?
Seriously.
You know what? I think I'm going to sample that.
Okay, you're awful, but I will say this. I almost brought that up, but I didn't want to have to play it because then it would get stuck in everyone's head. I hate you so much right now.
But uninvent, right?
Agree.
Let's live in a world where the Cars for Kids jingle never existed. That's
Amen.
A better world to live in.
Amen.
All right, let's get to as many calls as we can. 1-800-520-1067. We might as well start with Dan, line three. I know he's champing at the bit to get this one on the air just to annoy me. Pico Rivera. Hey, Dan, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, everyone. Yeah, so I know being you might have a feeling about this. Daylight saving time. It needs to be uninvented. I'm a history teacher, and for years I've been ranting against it. It kills people from the lack of sleep. It doesn't save energy. It's not for the farmers. It's just garbage. I hate it. Can we please uninvent it?
I 100% agree with you. I think that is an idea whose time has come. And if I remember correctly, Allie, correct me if this sounds right, they're voting on that, aren't they, in the November election?
Yeah, but certain states, right? Which makes no sense. It has to be all of the U.S.
Yeah, yeah. I think you're absolutely right. And I, you know what? I honestly think, Dan, I don't know if it'll happen in the next 5 years, but I think eventually that's the conclusion most Americans are going to come to, and I think your wish is going to come true. Thank you for the call, sir. We appreciate it.
But Dan does know it's daylight savings.
How
right?
dare I want to uninvent you.
Okay.
Let's go to Jeff. Excuse me. Canoga Park, line two, please. Up next on the Kevin DeBeach Show. Hey, Jeff, what you got for us?
Hey, how's it going? Good morning.
Great.
So I'm not sure how many of you shop at CVS, but every time you go into CVS, you buy one thing, and you get a 6-foot long receipt.
Yes.
It's ridiculous.
Yes.
I know it sounds like you're doing stand-up, but you're really not exaggerating.
No.
No, there are whole...
It's 6 feet long. On the back, there's, you know, coupons for things you've never heard of for, like, 2 cents off.
There are whole websites dedicated to women putting it around them like a sash as Miss CVS, which makes me laugh, but it is absurd.
It's not a receipt. It's a scroll.
It is. Yeah.
And also, I don't need $2 off skin lotion that bad. You know what I mean? Like, let's just forgive and forget.
You seen your elbows?
All right. Jeff, good point.
Great call, sir. We're with you. Allison is in Whittier. She's up next, line one on the Kevin and Bean Show. Allison, we're in the uninventing business. What do you suggest?
Good morning. I think we should uninvent overdone lip injections and flat tummy tea ads on Instagram.
Oh, I'm with you, girl.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I'm with you.
Like, I'm down for a little bit of injections if you got nothing, but stop with the platypus. And the flat tummy tea, just work out, homegirl. Just work out.
It feels like you're just attacking people who've been on The Bachelor. Between the lips and the ads, that's just a Bachelor contestant.
By the way, I've never heard it referred to as the platypus. I love that.
Oh,
that's
duck
perfect.
Lips, yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
Absolutely.
All right, Allison, we're with you. Thank you so much. Let's go to Belle, please, line five. She's in Montebello. She seems to have a very specific thing that she wants to uninvent.
Good morning. I want to get rid of Yoshinoya.
Oh, Belle, you are right in line. My freshman year in college, I was living in a dorm at USC. There was a Yoshinoya next door. I went there, knew no one at the college, knew no one to hang out with, went there, got sick, first night, pooped my pants for the first time ever because of Yoshinoya, didn't meet anyone my first night because I was in my room alone. Cleaning my jeans. Yoshinoya should be banned completely. I appreciate it, Belle, because I pooped my pants.
Belle, is the food just that bad? Is that what you're saying?
I've never ate there. I don't know anyone who's ever ate there. Every time I've driven by one, it's empty.
Belle,
I don't even know how they
Belle,
stand
I've eaten
in there.
I'm going to tell you this. A rice bowl with some of their teriyaki chicken is a goddamn delight.
Oh, really?
Oh, it is tasty.
Maybe on the way in. Unbelievable. It's terrible.
It's good.
Also, are they a sponsor?
Not sure.
Not anymore.
Fair enough.
All right. I don't think we've ever had this phone topic before, but I think it could be very interesting. You're allergic to something, but you decide to go ahead and be with it anyway because it's just too good to give up. People who eat foods that they're allergic to. I think I told you guys off the air that my wife and I are staying at a house on vacation in a couple of weeks that has a cat, built-in cat. My wife is super allergic to cats.
Oh, man. Go to a different house.
No. You don't see that as the plan? Bean stays. Oh. She has to go someplace else because the allergies.
Smart, Jonna.
I've stayed at this house
She's
before.
She's incredibly smart.
And I fell very much in love with Rojo. That's the only reason I'm going. And I'm very excited to see Rojo again.
How's your wife going to do that, though?
She's just going to deal.
But that's not...
She's going to deal.
For how long?
I think we're going to be there for about a week, I guess.
Because
like
I would think maybe you could deal for 6 hours, but or a day at the most,
Can
but a
she
week?
Take any medications?
Yeah, I mean, I think she'll Benadryl it up. So, look, if I'm going to have to choose between a cat that I've met once and my wife.
Oh, my God.
What do you think I'm going to do?
See you later, Donna.
So we're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Even though you're allergic to a thing, it's something you still enjoy and still subject yourself to voluntarily. That's the topic. Now, I think, Allie, I think you are the queen of this because you have such a big allergy that it's kind of hard to avoid it your whole life, and that's dairy, right?
Yeah, I have a very distinct reaction to dairy where we'll just say both ends at the same time. So I know exactly how to time it out. I know how much time I have. I know depending on if it's going to be pizza, God bless you if you're around and there's garlic bread, something about the butter makes it almost instantaneous.
Okay, so for you, it's not cut it out. It's just you have to time it right.
It's just time it right.
So it's worth
it. And most likely... Be home is best, obviously. Nobody around that doesn't know about the allergy, always best. And number three, if you want to fit into something cuter later in the night, great plan.
Oh,
stomach's flat.
Oh,
you look great.
You lose some weight.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this, because I don't know much about these this dairy allergy. There's no significant repercussions afterwards. In other words, it upsets your stomach, makes you uncomfortable, makes you sick momentarily, but it's not like it does any damage to you down the road if you have dairy, right?
I'm sure over time, if I kept doing this, I'd have some issues. You know?
Don't do it that often.
No.
Right.
No.
But are there times, Allie, where you just are like, God damn it, do I want pizza?
Absolutely.
I crave pizza and I'm going to eat pizza.
Absolutely. And I do it. And my friend calls it poo pizza.
Oh.
You getting that, poo pizza?
Pizza. That is not what you want.
That doesn't make it sound fun at all.
Right. But here's the thing is that you have to be so disciplined.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you get just tired of being disciplined.
Yeah, and I'm sorry. Pizza's the greatest food on the
pizza.
Earth.
It's,
pizza.
It's called a pizza.
Yes.
Pretty good,
but
yeah.
While I'm eating it for those, like, couple slices,
yeah.
I'm in heaven.
Right.
And then I am in serious hell for a good 25, 30 minutes.
I read an article yesterday, and we are going to get to your calls. They're already coming in fast at 1-800-520-1067. I read an article that was so interesting to me because it was things that I have never really heard of people being allergic to, but there are people who are allergic to almost everything out there, like people who are allergic to household cleaners.
Right.
What are you supposed to do? Because at some point, you got to pull out the 409 or whatever, the Comet, whatever it is you're using to clean your house, right?
Mm-hmm.
People who are allergic to cosmetics and skincare products. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're a lady in particular, your life is going to involve cosmetics at some point, right?
Yeah, but there's ways to get around that.
Do they have hypoallergenic?
Absolutely.
People who are allergic to condoms, for instance.
Mm. Right.
That's apparently not an uncommon. By the way, I claimed for years I was allergic to condoms.
Right.
But
right.
What most dudes do. I have a friend that was allergic. Can I say this?
I don't know.
To semen.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I've heard of that, too.
And her husband.
It's not just a story.
No, her husband was like, no way, this isn't even possible. He had to go to the doctor, give a sample, all of that to determine there's some, dare I say, protein in it that didn't mix well with her.
Wow.
A bad situation, guys. Real bad situation.
Listen to this, Allie.
I'd like to know how many people claim that and how many people it's true for.
Right.
Very rarely, women can have an allergic reaction to their partner's semen, which can include redness, burning, itching, and swelling in areas where the fluid was exposed to their skin. This allergy is often person-specific.
What?
So a woman may experience it with one partner, but not with others.
Yeah, she asked if she could try it out with other people.
Right?
He was not into
just
that.
For science. Yeah. For science,
research.
I have to try.
What's the thing you have at nail salons, Allie?
I still don't know what it is, but when I was in high school, I went to get acrylic nails for the first time, little nail tips, and I wound up fainting, went back the next day because I only had 3 nails done, and I was like, I'm going to prom, fix this, fainted again. So there was some smell in the chemicals of the acrylic and what they use that I then went another 10 years, didn't go into a nail salon that did acrylic nails, went into a nail salon 10 years later, woke up in an ambulance. They said I had a seizure.
What?
So I passed out and had a seizure. Yeah.
So this is beyond what most people's problems is with acrylic nails, which is just a rash
like a
or something.
Skin rash or something. No, there's something, the chemical smell of whatever, like the liquid is that they apply. Huh. With, all of a sudden I'm feeling dizzy, I'm getting the little sweat beads, and I'm down for the count. So I haven't had acrylic nails or gel nails or anything like that forever.
Is there, there's an alternate?
There is now, and I found it. My friend Michelle told me about this great place, and now I get what's known as powder nails.
Sure.
And they don't use any of the liquid. It's non-toxic. It's fantastic. And ladies, the color isn't color. The color is the actual powder, so your nails never chip. I can go 4 weeks without a manicure. Suck it!
Too much information.
Okay. All right.
I feel like we may be off topic
a
bit.
There's one lady out there that's like, I'm sorry, what was it? Yeah,
our
amazing.
Listeners are awesome and are coming through with lots of allergies that I've not heard of. So we'll get to as many as we can, as fast as we can. Let's do one before the break and make it line 2's Brandy. She's calling from Long Beach. Brandy, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What are you allergic to?
I'm allergic to pineapple, which I discovered on my honeymoon.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes my entire mouth swell up and makes my tongue very itchy, but I do not care. And in the last 3 years, I have had the pleasure of having Hawaii as part of my territory for work.
Uh-huh.
So I go to Hawaii about every 6 to 8 week, and I still eat it every single time I go. I
love it.
You're just like, you know what? F it. I like it.
I like it. How long do those effects last after you've had a pineapple?
It just depends on how much of it I eat and how strong it is. If I eat straight pineapple and I eat a lot of it, it could last for, you know, an hour or so.
Okay, that's manageable.
Worth it.
Worth it.
How do we become friends?
Minimal.
How do we become friends with Brandy and go to Hawaii every 6 weeks?
Right, every 6 weeks.
No kidding. Wow. That's great. All right. Aloha. I'll play the ukulele for you another time, but we're out of time right now, Brandy. We appreciate it. 1-800-520-1067. What are you allergic to, but you still go for it? We'll talk to you next on Katie.
Just to have a sublime, let's take one phone call. Let's make it Katie. Hi, Katie.
Hi. How are you?
We are good.
We're talking about things you're allergic to, but you still go for it anyway. What's yours?
Alcohol.
What?
You're allergic to alcohol.
Yes, I sure am.
all kinds? It doesn't matter whether it's a beer or bourbon?
Wouldn't you guess she's tried every single one?
I've tried everything, yes.
What happens to you when you drink alcohol?
So I'm not Asian, but I get the Asian flush, mm-hmm. and I get burning in my esophagus and stomach, which then turns into stomach spasms.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. So how often do you treat yourself and drink anyway?
At this point, I've reached a certain age where I basically just do it on special occasions. When I was younger, it was more often than not because I just went into oblivion.
Stomach spasms.
Yeah. So you just switched over to hard drugs just to avoid that, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Just went straight heroin.
Straight heroin. Oh. I mean, you're not allergic. Wow, that's a tough one, man. There are a lot of people out there feeling for you right now, Katie. We appreciate the call so much. 1-800-520-1067. Tell us what you're allergic to, but you go for it anyway. Talk to you next on camera. By the way, that list I was telling you about of things that people are allergic to that I knew very little about. People who are allergic to metal have to survive in a world with tablets and phones and cars and so many other things.
Hmm.
Can you imagine trying to navigate your way around metal?
No.
That sounds like a tough one. Nobody would choose that, no. That's for sure.
I don't think anyone would choose any of these.
Let's go out to Prescott, Arizona. Kevin and Bean listener listening online at radio.com app. Ryan, welcome to the program, sir. How are you?
Doing well. Popo's out, guys. How you doing?
Popo's out of you as well. What are you allergic to?
I'm allergic to grass, not weed, but I'm allergic to actual blades of grass.
Oh, my gosh. No. So do you have like a yard you have to walk by to get to your car every morning?
Well, no, I grew up playing sports.
Playing soccer?
At a very early age.
Soccer, yeah, football?
Soccer, football, baseball, all of it. I would break out in just the worst hives the second my skin makes contact with it.
Oh.
So in the middle of summer during baseball, while it's, 90 degrees here in Arizona, I'm covered head to toe. Like, I'm wearing long sleeves, turtleneck, high socks.
Oh.
And so I'm out there sweating profusely just so I don't break out in hives.
That is awful. That's awful.
What a terrible fielder you must have been. Look, I'm not going to dive.
I'm not laying out for any balls.
Right. Exactly. All right, Ryan, thank you for the call. Appreciate that so much. Let's go to line one, Corona. This is going to be Daniel. He's a guy who goes out of his way to subject himself to something he's allergic to.
Hey, Daniel.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, thank you.
What is it?
Good, so I go backpacking in the summers and things like that and up in the mountains, and I go fishing, and, I catch a fish and I bring it in.
Right.
And the next day, my hands are blistered, and that kind of thing that you did when you were a kid and you put glue on your hands and you peeled it off?
Oh no.
Yes.
That's basically my hand. And it goes like that for about the month.
And that's caused by fish?
Yeah, they call it, it's certain fish, like trout and salmon that have it.
Is it the oil?
So only the ones that you catch?
It's the oil, yeah. They call it fisherman's hand.
I am going to tell you something, Daniel, that is going to blow your mind. You can now buy fish in the supermarket. You don't have to catch it. You don't have to skin it. You don't have to clean it. You don't have to do anything but cook it and cut it.
Where's the fun in that, though?
Right?
Well, the fun in that is your hands are all blistered up.
It's worth it.
Did you say it was for a month?
Yeah, it goes out for about a month. Yeah, just, parts of my palms start to peel. And
oh, man.
It goes up to the fingers, and yeah.
That is something else.
I've had it my entire life, and...
You're a gross dude, Daniel.
And I just now figured it out. So,
yep, you are a very slow learner. Thank you, Daniel. Appreciate the call.
Bless him.
Let's go to line six, Whittier. This is going to be Jacqueline. Now, Kevin, be nice to Jacqueline.
Of course.
Okay?
That's all I am is nice.
What are you allergic to, Jacqueline?
I am very allergic to animals. All animals, pretty much.
All animals.
Okay, and and what do you do for a living?
I'm a registered veterinary technician.
Okay, what are you doing?
What? How? Why did you?
What are you doing?
Oh, I love animals, so I'm going to do what I love.
They don't love you.
How do you protect yourself?
I am on a lot of medications. So I do have a fix for your wife.
A fix for what?
Oh, for Donna.
Oh, yeah, okay. Oh, yeah, please. Right. What do you recommend for her? Because we're going to be staying in a house with a cat.
That's cute. You say
I don't know if I can say brand names on the radio.
Of course. So. Yeah, sure.
Oh, so she's got to go to the counter at any drugstore and ask for Allegra D.
Allegra D. All right. Okay. Yeah. All right. She's usually a Benadryl gal, but that puts her to sleep, so.
Yeah, exactly. Allegra D, 24 hour. That'll help her for the week.
All right. Okay, great. Thank you, Jackie. I appreciate the call. So she knows she's allergic to animals, and she says, you know what? I'm going to be a vet tech.
That's her job.
She loves you so much.
That is her thought. Aww. All right. Well, let's stay on the animal tip and go to Juan in Newport real quick, because he's got those animals in his house. Let's find out how this is working out for him.
Hey, Juan.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
What are you allergic to?
So I'm allergic to dogs and cats, but I happen to have two French bulldogs living with me.
And how's that working out for you?
Well, they're adorable, but I can't play with them long because then I get my eyes swell up and I get these rashes all over my arms. So
can I have one of them?
Absolutely not.
I don't think he's looking to give them away.
Okay.
Why are you living with – how did you end up living with dogs? You didn't go out and get a dog knowing that this would be the reaction, right?
Well, yeah, but I've always loved dogs, and I figured, like, if you live with them long enough, you'll become immune, but that's not the case.
Oh, Juan.
All right. Guys, that's not the case. We just learned out.
Juan is a scientist.
All right. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's do one more. Let's go to Orange. Let's say hi to Ashley. She's on line one. Kevin, this is another one that's going to kill you.
All right, Ashley, hi.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Thank you. You're allergic to...
gluten, grains, and barley.
Oh, man.
Okay, that's
everything.
That's everything.
That limits your options. What kinds of things are involved in gluten, grain, and barley? Obviously, bread, right?
Bread, rice, wheat.
Not beer, though.
Pasta, beer.
No!
Oh.
How do you? Why do you live? Why are you still alive, Ashley, if you can't have bread, pasta, or beer?
Because there's Benadryl.
All right. It's so perfect. That works perfectly?
Yep, I just get a little bit itchy, but sometimes it's worth it.
Oh, it's totally worth it.
All right.
Look at that chick at the bar scratching herself.
That's Ashley. All right, as usual, the conclusion is our listeners are making a lot of real good decisions.
That's correct. Comedian Eddie F. joins us in a few minutes here on the world-famous K-Rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:07.
And don't forget, you are minutes away from Six Flags Magic Mountain. K-Rock Takeover is happening on November the 17th. We got tickets for you at 9 a.m. and then all throughout the day until 9 p.m. every hour at the top of the hour. By the way, has anyone checked on Eddie to see if he's scaled the outside of the building to get in?
Do not know. Do not know yet.
We found out today that he won't take elevators.
Yeah, which was a surprise to us.
Yeah. Some claustrophobia.
Extremely claustrophobic, yeah.
So this is his first visit to the new facility since K-Rock moved, so I don't know how difficult it's going to be for him. We may have to go down to the parking lot and interview him there, I guess is what I'm saying. That's the way it's going.
All right.
Hey, DJ Omar Khan.
Hey, you Hall of Fame radio broadcasters.
Oh, come on,
don't
man.
Don't even start like that.
What are you guys doing?
We were doing well right up until now.
You guys have nothing to worry about.
Look. We know we're terrible, okay? You're not going to come in here and break any news here. I know you do the B-Team podcast with your little friends, and you go back and listen to old tapes of the Kevin and Bean Show and critique it.
Yeah.
We know we suck.
Listen. I beg to disagree, because if you sucked, then you would not be in the Radio Hall of Fame.
Why don't you shut up and just get to the clips?
Alongside the likes of Vince Scully, Bob Hope.
I mean...
Jack Benny.
Unreal. Right.
Larry King.
What?
Yes, they all deserved it.
Casey
exactly.
Kasem.
No.
A legend like Wolfman Jack.
I know. Wow. There was one mistake that was made, and it was the year they put it into the Hall of Fame.
I don't think they even knew it was us, because the day we got inducted to the Hall of Fame, they tweeted, congrats to Kevin and Bean from Kiss FM.
Yep.
They tweeted that. Yeah. I don't think they even knew it was us.
But I think they thought they were getting Seacrest.
Listen, you guys try to downplay your greatness.
Yeah, all right.
And,
what
you know, Allie, let's face it. We work with legends. We
really
radio
do.
Legends.
Right.
You're really piling it on
okay,
here.
Let's get to the
embarrassing clips.
Listen. Thankful.
They're approaching 30 years.
All right. Mm-hmm. Let's get
on
to the clips.
Yeah. Bring in the yucks. They're, you know what I mean? They're just so awesome. And over the years, I've done a couple of song tributes to you guys. Mm-hmm. You know, I've done like...
You take all of the time right there, so...
Listen, you guys are masters of the mic. We all know that, right? You guys are titans of the talk.
Oh,
you guys
God.
Are behemoths of broadcasting. So I've done
this is going to be really bad,
so I've done a couple of songs like, you know, Kevin's a big-headed drunkie, but, you know, I've been along this journey with you for about 15 years here with Kevin and Bean.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I have
Any clips associated with
there
this?
There is.
Okay.
There is. There's actually,
can we get to those?
I'm going to do a heartfelt song tribute.
Oh.
Because, you know, I've always done a song kind of like, you know, mocking Kevin and Bean. Mm-hmm. And over the years, I think, post being inducted into the Radio Hall of Fame, you guys, like a fine wine, have gotten better with age. So I did a little tribute song, and this is all post,
right? And the gift is right. We have to go downstairs
you know
to
no,
interview
have,
him in the parking lot.
We have plenty of time for this. So I put together a little tribute for you guys.
Oh,
and I want to give props. Trevor, the imaging director, did the vocals on this.
Oh, okay. No.
And this is just a little tribute to Kevin and Bean and how they've just gotten better.
Oh, you already said that.
Since being inducted to the Radio Hall of Fame.
Okay. All right.
Lately, I've been thinking, you guys sound so much crappier. You guys sound so much crappier. When the morning comes, you want to have some fun. But when you turn on the mic, we can hear you, and you sound so stupid and so dumb.
How are you, boy?
Every moment with, would you like to take that back? Cause you talk for a living, and I can't believe they let you broadcast on it.
I don't know, so that's a toss-up.
You talk for a living. I cannot believe that you guys get paid to do this.
Sorry, I have to swallow.
You guys are freaking idiots.
I'm just a dumbass.
This is a tribute to...
Why?
Tribute to Kevin and Bean.
Tickets on sale Friday, 10 at noon. Friday, 10 at noon? Why would I say that?
Nope.
Very talented actor Dylan McDermott here on the K-Rock Morning Show. What's that's us, right, Kevin?
I don't think we've ever called it that.
You guys sound so much crappier. You guys sound so much crappier.
323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day. Still Afro with an H?
They had to do that emergency thing where they, whatever it is, they put on you to bring your breath back or whatever. It's probably not the best description.
And then to get that response, just pours fire on the you know, gasoline, whatever. However that one works.
Agreed.
However that works.
1-800-520-1067. That's the number for the Kevin and Bean Afro line. We have your calls on the air.
What? No.
Is that not right? 323-520-AFRO.
Yep.
That's the number for the Kevin and Bean Afro line. Jesus.
It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 22 minutes after 9 o'clock.
You're listening to... Oh, you already said that part.
Yep.
Hey, Dr. Drew's on the phone, you guys.
I said that part like 12 seconds ago.
You guys sound so much crappier. You guys sound so much crappier.
Now, I know that's a tenuous... What's the word I'm looking for after tenuous? Anyone? Just being quiet on purpose, because that's the rule. I know that's a weak example, is what I'm trying to say.
Would it be a connection? A
connection?
Connection? Could that be it?
Thank you, Bean. Connection is the word I could not think of.
Lately, I've been thinking, you guys sound so much crappier. You guys sound so much crappier.
Wow, this is something.
The only thing I can think is... mistaken door. They thought they were going to doorbell identity. No, I was thinking. I'm not sure how to say it, but they meant to go to somebody else's house, got the wrong apartment or condo or house number, whatever you have.
How about wrong address? Like that?
That would have been a more succinct way to say it.
Yeah, you guys are real. What's the word I'm looking for? Discerning. You're really discerning. Woo!
Andrew Siciliano on the line. Andrew Siciliano, I should say, more pronounced the better.
Huh? What? You're right.
More pronounced better.
Oh, you blow. You blow. You blow. Blow. Blow.
That's the secret success. Secret to the success of that show.
Well said.
I mean,
Hall of Fame! Hall of Fame!
I mean, I gotta admit, that was pretty good.
You're welcome.